Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, we have week 11 of the NFL. Weird week. Moving day. PFT already said it. Awesome. We're doing this after we tape that, but moving day.
It's moving day.
Credit to you. Moving day. We have Deion Sanders. We have Football Guy of the Week. We have a little college football talk. We got Who's Back of the Week. We have everything. Every single game recapped, including the Steelers-Jaguars, which I forgot to write down. But we have it all. We have it all. Carson Wentz, is he?
What is he?
What
right
is
now?
He?
Bust?
Nothing. So we have it all. Everything here. And it's brought to you by our friends at...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's go.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Monday, November 23rd, better known as Week 11. We start in Baltimore, where it was tough sledding for Lamar Jack Sonny Bono, who had trouble sharing the rock and couldn't quite dodge Tennant Tree going down the Tannehill. Oof. The Ravens' defense featured Tyus Bowser's Castle with an interception, and Princess Peach became a queen as Patrick led the team in tackles, only to be outdone by Derrick Henry, who ran the ball like Mark Ingram ate a magic mushroom. They took out the Rumble Pack after the game as there was no handshake at midfield, and the Titans go one up in the AFC South, beating the Ravens in OT 30-24.
What? In rainy Cleveland, where Carson Wentz was playing drunk, throwing up Jalen Rager bombs. But the Eagles aren't getting another big tie, as Kamaro Hodge had a big game in the air for the Browns. Austin, who, per my last email, and the Browns offense was looking forward, forward, forward all day, as they matriculated the ball downfield. Masochist Eagles fans are in a lot of pain, but want more hurts going forward. Browns 22, Eagles 17.
In Duval, where the Jaguars took a commanding 3-0 lead, only to have Jake Isaac Luton crash to the earth as four apples were picked from the tree by the Steelers' defense. BuzzFeed Benny Snell got caught making a great play, Jerism, and Canadian Chase Claypool said, sorry. Looks like I'm going to score here. Some of those duh-duh-duhs, you know, the ones that got the pop.
It gives you the nice pop.
You get them over the Canadian border, the pop. You get them the duh-duh-duhs. Catching more than just eight balls, Diontae Dustin Johnson has mastered the wide receiver position, looking like a guy who has dipped into the great one's gene pool, and the Steelers are going home with a perfect 10, 27-3.
What?
Talking about Polina.
In a touching tribute to my good friend JFK, the Texans lowered their convertible roof on November 22nd, exposing the grassy knoll and welcoming a bunch of men from Massachusetts. Anyone got their eyes on Ted Cruz's dad as there was a Rex Burke head exploding back and to the left? KK Kuti Harvey Oswald was posted up in the Texans playbook depository, and New England's history of parades won't be continuing as a CJ precise shot led to Duke Lyndon B. Johnson take over.
Too soon, Boom.
Tune in for a full HD recap on Darren Revelle Fell's Twitter as Patriots got their once own asses kicked. The Texans 27, the Patriots 20.
They got that booty kicked. In the nation's capital, where Antonio Cromartie Gibson had made a vast deference and balled out, Joe B, Joe B, Joe B, Joe B, I'm begging you, please don't take my man, as they had to dolly Carton Burrow off the field in the third quarter. Going from Burrow to Finley, 9-5, is a hard way to make a T. Higgins. Fat Randy Bullock hit a couple of voter suppression polls, otherwise known as the Washington Post, and the Washington football team is back in playoff contention, winning 20-9. I can't speak.
What?
I'm old Greg.
In Indianapolis, where Philip Austin Rivers got nicked up and is going to MSG, no disrespect to Eddie Lacy's China food, Indy's Midnight Runner said, come on, Naheem. Oh, I swear what he means at this moment. Your running means everything. Rodrigo Blankenship up to Boston was hitting field goals like dropkicks, and he hits the game winner to seal it for the Colts. Colts 34, the Packers 31.
In Minnesota, where Dallas raced out to an early lead with help from C.D. Gonzalez-Lamb, and speaking of racing fast, Dalvin Diesel Cook ran furiously through the Cowboys' defense for 115 yards. Adam Thielenny Kravitz flew away from the Cowboys DBs, and Vikings fans want to get away from their existence as Minnesota drops a must-win to the hapless Cowboys. Do the dance, Skip. 31-28.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA, such a fine sight to see. It's Taysom Hill, my lord, with a dick so warm, like crab legs after robbery. Come on, Taysom, let Jameis play some. Just don't let him around any snatch. He's not Jason Statham.
Saints go marching, 24-9.
We finish in Las Vegas, where we have Patrick Mahomes on the show from the sideline after his incredible late-game touchdown, Patrick.
Yo, it's great being out here in Sin City, Big Cat. It's incredible. That stadium's so fuckable, I call it the Woomba. Man, if I was a single guy, I'd be on like Donkey Kong. Coach Reed didn't like them doing laps around the stadium. Well, Coach Andy's going to have us taking laps around the Wynn Buffet. Hey, Andy, bring your own sneeze guard. Hey, did you see Derek Carr's face? He was looking like he was going to be sitting in his car listening to Disturbed's acoustic album and crying into his Mountain Dew after the game. Man, I call that guy Jared Goff. What a great game. Chiefs 31. Raiders 31.
Okay, week 11 in the books. That was the fastest 2 minutes in sports presented by...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right. Week 11 in the books. Sunday Night Football. We will start with Derek Carr. Is he elite? Well, yeah, he was actually awesome, but they got Mahomed.
Derek Carr, he played a surprisingly competent game, like a really good game, actually.
No, I actually think Derek Carr might just...
He's taking the next step.
There's the 8-year bump, 7-year bump. Mm-hmm. There is definitely like an old Derek Carr thing that we have in our brain that we have to move past and be like, he's actually just good.
Same thing. Yeah, it's like me and Tannehill.
He's just good.
I know that he's good, but it's tough to shake the preconceived notion.
He's just a good quarterback. Unfortunately, the other quarterback is like on the way to being one of the greatest of all time, which I know sounds crazy to say, but it really isn't if you watch Mahomes play. And that this is like the next step with Mahomes. Won the MVP, won the Super Bowl MVP, is incredible all-time talent. But now it's just expecting it. You just expect it. Like when the Raiders scored,
too much time on the clock.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
It was like a minute and 40 seconds. Way too much time.
Yeah, like bare minimum, they get a chip shot field goal because something weird happened where someone dropped the ball. And most likely scenario, they score a touchdown with ease, which is exactly what happened.
If Patrick Mahomes has a minute and 2 timeouts on the clock, that's still too much time.
But here's the thing. Here's what I learned from this game. This is now 2 times, so the Raiders went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. They now have they played them to the last minute and a half. The Raiders are, I would say, the team that the Chiefs don't want to face in the playoffs. And they feel like a team that has enough going for them that they could make some – I'm putting them in my make some noise. I'm putting in them – like, you want to talk about the Titans last year going to the AFC Championship game? I could see the Raiders making a similar run this year.
They're kind of built for the playoffs a little bit, and John Gruden is doing a great job coaching the team. John Gruden, it's time for us to forget about all the fun that we've made of John Gruden because he's actually, like, a very good head coach. Is he worth 10 years, $100 million? I don't know. You can make that call, but was John Gruden in his bag tonight?
Yeah, and he had the savviest move I've ever seen because you can't beat the Chiefs with field goals. The Raiders were going down the field and they were going down with the field with ease in the first quarter. Second quarter, they get down to the 1-yard line. They get stopped. Third and goal. Fourth and goal on the 1. Wow, John Gruden, are you about to kick a field goal? You fucking pussy. You can't beat the Chiefs with field goals. He gets a 15-yard penalty for screaming at the ref. So then it totally takes it out of his own hands. And we can't make fun of John Gruden.
This was a great game for just hearing people talk on the sidelines and on the field. Derek Carr has a shockingly masculine voice. And you could hear all the audibles that he was calling, like the James Harden call.
I saw. So did you see the tweet that someone thinks they deciphered it?
James Harden. It was ISO.
it was going to a strip club and calling it quits. No, wait, it's not the playoffs. So still playing well. Mm-hmm. No. He was allegedly, every time he called out a left-handed basketball player, it was checking to a run to the left.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy to figure out. But yeah, right. John Gruden.
Well, no, because you could start just throwing, like, what if they were like Luke Kennard?
Oh, shit. Yeah, like, then I have no idea.
They could just throw out random names
and
be like, well, you better know your basketball knowledge.
I also love every pass that Aguilar catches. It just inspires everybody who's from Philadelphia to be like, what the fuck, man? You have hands?
Yeah.
What's going on with this?
This is not fair.
But, yeah, I think John Gruden was in his bag. I don't know what it means, but he was deep in his bag. He coached as good a game against the Chiefs as I think you can do pretty much. You can't stop the Chiefs.
No, you can't.
He held them to essentially, you know, it could have been a win for the Raiders. If the Chiefs had been smart about it, they would have let them score at the goal line instead of, like, running even more time off the clock.
Yeah.
And then John Gruden would have outsmarted himself and then maybe had an extra, like, 45 seconds out of sheer luck that he would have ended up with Derek Carr. That's almost like what you have to do now with the Chiefs is you have to account for a complete new possession at the end of the game.
Right.
If they're letting you score, yes, we will let you let us score so that we can get the ball back and be able to drive down the field at the very end of the game.
Just keep letting each other score. Yes. I think I did that with Doug's.
That's what
you I just think. Kept on let like all I need is 25 seconds.
Right.
That's all I need. The Chris Collinsworth said that Derek Carr is playing. We see Derek Carr's body, but it's John Gruden's brain in his head.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So wait, what's in John Gruden's head? Derek Carr's body?
I don't know.
I think
they've Freaky Friday.
I think John Gruden's bag just has like a Corona in his bag, and then a picture of his wife's tits that he shows to everybody the first time he meets him.
Maybe a sick Hooters calendar.
Check this out, guys.
Yeah. I am now addicted, by the way, because the let them score. I was screaming that at the TV. I'm not going to tweet that anymore because I can't wait till someone gets a stop and I can say, see, that's not why you don't let them score.
You play to win the game.
I'm waiting for that. That's going to be a great feeling.
That'll be really nice.
That's going to happen because let them – I feel like let them score having a moment?
It is having a moment.
I think it is with Todd Gurley and let them score is having a little bit of a moment.
It's also a test on your defense. Like if you tell your defense to let them score and they don't let them score, that's how you know that you've got football players
back
there.
It's true. That's a good point. So, yeah. This is one of those weird losses for the Raiders, even though they're in a very, very spirited playoff race where you can't lose games. I feel like you walk away from that being like no moral losses, but damn, like that's the Super Bowl winning Chiefs, and we went toe to toe with them after we beat them earlier in the season. We're a good fucking football team.
I'm also addicted to the trailing camera shots that show a field that grows outside being wheeled inside. That to me is almost as cool as a stadium construction montage where they do a time lapse. When they do that in Arizona and they show the field being wheeled inside, it's incredible. They have that in Las Vegas where they've actually like dug into the side of like a giant sandstone mountain or whatever is out there. And that's where the field lives during the week. And I'm sure that Mark Davis just kind of sits on midfield in a lawn chair and just suns himself like a lizard until it's actually game day.
I'm a little nervous about the Raiders actually now that I'm looking at this because we just complimented them. They're a good football team. They have at the Falcons and at the Jets the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
I actually, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'd rather them play really good teams because that would really suck if they lost to one of those two teams.
It would.
They should beat both of those teams very easily, and wouldn't it be just so Raider to lose to one of those teams and be like, well, we really screwed the pooch here.
Then they've got the Chargers at home coming up.
Yeah.
They've got
Dolphins, who are good.
Yeah, Dolphins are good.
We're gonna get to them and then finish with the Broncos.
I don't know. I think they're definitely a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs. You're right. Yes. You're right, because they play man football.
Man football.
They play belly-to-belly, smash-mouth.
Man
and we football. Had a Jason Witten sighting tonight. How about that? The old slot machine still works.
He's there. All right, so that was game one. Let's do the rest of week 11. A weird week. Up and down week.
Weird week.
Well, there was, when I say weird, I mean there was just a bunch of unders that hit in the first slate.
Right.
So it was like kind of bad football, but
this was moving day in the NFL.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. All right. Speaking of moving day, let's start with the Eagles and the Browns. Browns 22, Eagles 17. God is the Browns offensive coordinator. It's happened, I think, 3 weeks in a row now where it's just been terrible weather in Cleveland.
They call it Dracula weather.
Dracula weather.
I saw one of the Cleveland Browns writers refer to it as like a three-peat of Dracula weather that's helped the Browns out.
And it has essentially kept the Browns with their identity. The Browns have an identity. It is run the ball, maybe every now and then pass the ball and play action. But Baker Mayfield threw the ball 22 times. They ran the ball 40 times. So let's say nice things about the Browns first, and then we'll get to the dumpster fire that is the Eagles. So the Browns have an identity. Kevin Stefanski, I think, is on the short list for Coach of the Year. It's probably going to be Mike Tomlin to lose, but you should at least mention him because the Browns are sitting here with their best record, I think, since 2007 or something. They're going to maybe go to the playoffs for the first time in like 30 years or 20 years. It's looking good for Cleveland.
It's looking pretty good, yeah. And I think Nick Chubb is a fucking monster, and no one wants to tackle him. Especially, you know how we were talking like the other week, seeing a defensive lineman not wearing gloves is terrifying?
Yep.
I think you were talking about a Saints player.
Yep.
Saints defensive end.
It's just so dangerous. It's like, it's the idea, and it makes no sense, but when you, like, if you hear something in the middle of the night and you have to go to your front door, you got to make sure you put your pants and a shirt on. Because, like, if you were going to get stabbed or shot, the shirt would slow it down, the bullet down.
A little bit, yeah, you would think so.
It makes no sense, but it totally makes
sense. But also, I remember one time I was sneaking into my friend Armando's house, and his dad came downstairs just wearing tighty whities, and that was terrifying.
So you could have had him.
I was like, that dude is – no, but I thought that dude is crazy.
You could have had him.
Because he didn't stop to think about putting a shirt on or some pants on. That's what Nick Chubb's
Titty
like.
Titty Twister would have put him to his knees.
Nick Chubb – not wearing gloves as a running back is like an offensive lineman not wearing sleeves when it's cold outside, especially when it's Dracula weather in Cleveland. He's got like the finger tape on. That's terrifying to look at. And he was out there like punching people in the face on stiff arms with no gloves on. He's insane.
I don't understand that. I get it for a defensive lineman where you're like, I'm just trying to intimidate everyone. But if you're holding the ball, gloves, glove technology is incredible.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jack Nicklaus's grandson, Nick O'Leary. He used to not wear gloves as a tight end, and that was crazy, too. But
the
stickiness of
glove technology?
Nick Chubb has just naturally sticky hands, I think. What's up, Billy?
I once saw Nick O'Leary have a fumble, and if he had gloves on, he totally wouldn't have fumbled.
Yeah, there it is. Like, yeah,
but,
no,
but if he fumbled gloves, twice, he wouldn't have gotten drafted
Buffalo,
as high.
Yeah. That's a good point, though, Billy, because it is, even if you think you have better ball control without gloves on, the minute that you take off the gloves and start running around, if you fumble, it will immediately be, well, you should have been wearing gloves.
Yeah, but if you're Philip Rivers and you're a quarterback and you're not wearing gloves, you get to lick your hand like three times every single play before
not
the snap.
Not COVID safe.
Not COVID safe in this era. But shout out to the Browns.
Myles Garrett not even playing, and they did this, which I think everyone thought, ooh, Myles Garrett's pretty much their, you know, it is their best defensive player, but also maybe their best player, period. Out with COVID, and you thought, oh, maybe the Eagles can have the Browns. I did, and I was wrong.
Here's a fun stat. The Browns have now defeated every single team in the 21st century.
There we go.
So I don't know what other teams have done it. They've collected all the Infinity Stones or the Gauntlet or whatever
it is. Took them 20 years.
The Browns finally did it. Congratulations. My Mike Greenberg dumb rule suggestion reared its ugly head in this game. Safety should be worth 5 points. But you don't get the ball back. You should kick off after you get a safety. But it should not be worth two. It's so hard to get a safety on defense. I'm not talking about like a rinky-dink like kick return where you go out, then you go back in, or an interception return where you go out and you go back in. If you actually like hit a running back or a quarterback in the end zone and cleanly take him down, 5 points.
See, I like it because it's like a $2 bill. It's so rare, and the number makes no sense. And also, there's something about a safety that just – no matter when it happens, it will absolutely fuck up the point spread.
Yes.
Because point spreads are just not meant for safety.
My brain, it takes a good like 15 minutes for my brain to catch up to a two.
I had the Eagles plus 3.5 and the safety happened. And I was like, it's over. Because you just can't, it's like extra points are the cousin of the safeties when it comes to fucking up point spreads, where if an extra point gets missed, you're like, once you get off of schedule where like the game can be tied and then the game can be some team goes up by 3 or 7, you're just fucked.
I also think that the Browns lead the league in having terrible players on their defense that end up making game-winning plays. So Sendejo was that way a couple weeks ago. He made a huge play. And then today, Taki, who all the Browns fans hate, had a pick six.
Yeah.
And that was like the play of the game, right?
That's
there.
A perfect segue because Taki, credit to you for the pick six, but holy shit, Carson Wentz is so bad at playing quarterback, and unfortunately, that is his job.
Leads the league in interceptions. He should be a tight end. Are we ready to call Carson Wentz a bust?
I don't know what you do because you gave him all this money, and the best thing that's ever happened to Carson Wentz is I think this now that like them winning a Super Bowl. Even though he didn't do it, it was Nick Foles, and then Philly, and then the Eagles picking Carson Wentz, which I from what I've seen from Nick Foles, I actually think it's not the wrong decision. But so Carson Wentz is the quarterback. You have Philly Eagles fans have at least, you know how they always talk about like a grace period after a Super Bowl or any type of championship, 5-year grace period, whatever it is. Eagles fans did probably give about a 1-year grace period. So they
which
got,
is about a year longer than I thought that they
right,
would
so Carson Wentz got about a year. He got hurt that year, and Nick Foles, they lost in that game in the Superdome. But he also benefits from the Eagles being the number one injured team every single year. Now, I don't know if that's true. It's just that we know a bunch of Eagles fans that tell us about their injuries all the time. Mm-hmm. But Carson Wentz, I think we're finally at the end of the road where even Eagles fans who were saying, well, everyone's injured, have finally thrown up their hands and be like, this guy might just suck.
I think another problem with Carson Wentz is the worse that he plays, the more of his body he puts into every play.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a Carson Wentz play where he takes like a calm little 3-5-step drop, stands, takes one step, and like just fires a nice little soft intermediate route. He just, if it's a short pass, he's going to put his entire body into it.
Yep.
Probably come off of both feet at some point during the play.
It's also something about Carson Wentz. He like reads a defense to a comically deliberate level. where it's like his face is just moot. It's, you know what it's like? Remember when Madden did the cone technology and everyone was like, fuck this, this is terrible. But that one year where I was like, what the hell is going on? We have to do a cone passing now? He looks like if you walked in on me fake reading a book, because like I, you know, we'll open up a book every now and then and be like, you know, with my finger, oh, I'm reading this book. That's what he looks like when he's trying to read a defense. All right. Nope. All right, sack. Nope. Interception. It's just, it all is so, it's, nothing is fluid.
He's like an owl.
Yeah.
So he has to turn his entire head to look.
Yes.
And he, to his credit, he's got a very flexible neck. Like, his head can turn almost all the way around his body, but he's got the worst peripheral vision of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think his eyes move. I think that Carson Wentz, someone check his eye muscles, because I don't think that they can, his pupils can go back and forth.
So what do they do?
Get him surgery?
No, I mean, I actually...
one of his eyes out?
This is the first time that I think that it's totally fair to say, do the Eagles move on from Carson Wentz? Like, it's not so crazy. I've held on. I've thought the Eagles were going to turn around. This was a game, if you look at their schedule, they kind of had to win this game. And, man, does he suck.
I think that he is... Here's the take. He, right now, is a poor man's Taysom Hill.
Mm.
If
I like that.
So
they kind of look similar.
Taysom
too.
Hill, yeah, they move similarly.
Yep.
Taysom knows his limitations, I think.
Yep.
Carson does. If Carson played quarterback like a fullback or a running back playing quarterback, I actually think he'd be better because he is still athletic and he can still run forward for 4 or 5 yards almost every play if he wants to.
He's someone I would love to just see on the Chiefs for one game because he would still suck, but then we could put to bed finally, like, oh, his receivers suck. Oh, his receivers drop everything. Oh, this sucks. This sucks. Like, Carson Wentz has gotten a long list of it's not his fault.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's some of it's his fault. It's not all his fault. I'm not going to – quarterbacking is hard, and there are a lot of moving parts. But at some point, you have to be like, dude, you might just suck.
I haven't heard that many people from Philly demand Jalen Hurts yet, though.
Well, he might not be good, too.
Yeah,
I don't
he might
know.
Not be good either.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But I'll put it this way. If you had – let's say that he was Patrick Mahomes' backup. Mahomes went down in the middle of a game, like with a knee injury like he did last year. Carson Wentz comes in. I think that Carson Wentz would be a shitty backup quarterback. I think that Carson, he has to be a starter in order to get the most out of him, because if he comes in as a backup, if you think that he is putting like his entire body into every single throw right now, imagine Carson Wentz with something to prove coming in as a backup trying to earn that next contract.
Now, with all that said, I would absolutely take him on the Bears because I think he'd probably be the best quarterback in franchise history. But, yeah, maybe that's what I'll start doing, by the way, is just like, you know, pump and dump stocks. Just try to lower every quarterback to be like, you know, should probably think about trading him.
Yeah,
Sam Darnold, probably should think about trading him. All
the
right.
Crazy thing is also, like, next week if he came out and threw for 400 yards, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, of course not. That's kind of the thing with Carson Wentz. You're always waiting for that, and it just this season it just hasn't happened. So the Browns, 7-3, huge win, especially coupled with the Ravens' loss. They get the Jaguars next. I think the Browns are going to make the playoffs. I don't want to say that. You know what? I'm not going to say it because I don't want to jinx it for Browns fans. Let's wait and see.
They look like they're going to make the playoffs right now. They've got the Jaguars.
But let's not say it.
And then at the Titans.
Let's not say it.
I'm not going to say it. Then they host the Ravens.
Goodwin Browns.
Who they could beat. Then the Giants. Then the Jets.
Yeah, Goodwin Browns. All right.
Browns are going to make the playoffs.
Falcons, Saints. Sean Payton probably made the right choice. It kills me to say it, but he made the right choice. Taysom Hill was not... He was good. He actually was good, and he's hard to defend against because he is a fucking beast when he's running it.
Yeah.
But, I want to see Jameis. I really wanted to see Jameis. And fuck Drew Brees, man. He keeps he's breaking another rib right now.
He just broke another one.
He just keeps adding ribs just so that I can keep getting tagged in tweets. Drew Brees has broken every rib in his entire body, and he's going back for seconds.
He's got 12 broken ribs
right now. It's insane. 13.
Yeah, no, it's nuts, but you're in good company with Tony Romo. Like, Tony Romo to Dak Prescott saying, you got to hope that's a cramp, is like you to Drew Brees. We all make mistakes. Drew Brees, I want to see his x-ray. Adam Schefter, if you can get to work on that, I will forgive your past HIPAA violations.
It just looks like shattered glass.
Yes, I just want to see what his sternum looks like. And if he does have 11 ribs, is it even possible for him to be alive right now?
He can definitely suck his own dick right now.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Without a doubt.
You got to go to town on your own hog. You got to take advantage of the situation.
I guess that will be the nice replacement for like not breaking another record on Monday Night Football in a couple weeks.
Being able to suck your own dick?
Yeah, it's kind of the same.
Yeah, better you than Sean Payton this time. But Drew Brees, he's going to be out for a good amount of time. We should give Jameis Winston some credit, by the way. I think maybe what Sean Payton was doing was he knew that if he had to have a scout team quarterback that could simulate an MVP-type performance from Matt Ryan,
right,
he needed Jameis on the scout team, yep, going up against his first-team defense,
yep,
to give them a look at what an elite passer can look like in the NFL. So I don't know if they're going to switch out and put Jameis in next week.
Probably not.
They might, because I think Sean Payton, just more than anything, he likes fucking with other coaches.
Oh, and he loves so he retweeted Roddy White. Did you see that?
Yep.
I love Sean Payton being petty. Roddy White tweeted I think it was a couple days ago. He tweeted something along the lines of, I'm going to pull it up right now. He said, Saints about to get whip trying us with Taysom Hill at QB. We about to snack them. Mm-hmm. I think he meant smack them. Maybe snack them. And then Sean Payton just retweeted it after the game, which I love that type of petty.
Crazy is when I saw that, for a second, I thought that Roddy White still played on the Falcons.
Yes.
I will always think that.
Yes. The Saints defense is very, very good. They are rounding into form at the perfect time, and now they are alone at the top of the NFC with those two wins against the Bucs in their back pocket, and then the Packers losing. I don't really know what to make of the Saints, because obviously I do think that Drew Brees has limitations that will fuck them in the playoffs, but if Taysom Hill, I don't know. I mean, he's got just enough weirdness where he can run. He had that one pass to Emmanuel Sanders that was like wildly underthrown. But at some point, if you underthrow it so much, it's actually perfect.
Yeah.
Because you just let your guy go make a play.
Well, no, what he's really good at is hanging on to the ball for a half second too long.
But he was
like
good.
Making the wrong decision, taking too long to make the right decision. But then when he finally makes it, it is underthrown, and the defender gets there at the last second and hits his guy before he can make a catch. So Taysom Hill is actually pretty good at drawing pass interference penalties.
Right, and he's good. And Sean Payton, obviously we shouldn't have doubted Sean Payton. I think it was more that we just love Jameis Winston so much and all the comedy that comes with him. I got in a little fight with some Saints blogger who was mad that I said we need to see Jameis Winston. He's like, who's we? Like, well, we is the football watching public, the people who want comedy in their lives, and Jameis Winston provides it.
The community that wants to see him do his Wile E. Coyote impression, like run into a brick wall because somebody painted a tunnel on it.
Right.
I
like,
want to see that.
It's fun. Go ahead, Saints. Like, if you want to win your games, go ahead, be my guest. I would prefer to watch some fun, hilarious, crazy interceptions and Jameis Winston.
Agreed. And, well, let's give credit to Taysom Hill. He's 30 years old now?
40,
he's a young 30 because he's a Mormon. Mm-hmm. And so hit between him and Jameis, I don't think that there is like a quarterback room in America that has as much of a different background in terms of sex than those two when they get together.
Yes, I'd say that's absolutely fair.
Probably a fact.
Yes, that's absolutely fair.
And then add in a third quarterback that can suck his own dick.
Yep.
That's
a freaky room.
That is a freak nasty room.
Freaky ass room.
Love is love, though.
The Falcons, Matt Ryan is just the most sackable guy in the world right now. He's just sackable.
Mm-hmm.
He just something about quarterbacks that didn't have a ton of athleticism to begin with, and as they get older and they just become these beautiful sackable targets that just, you know, that if you get even close to him, he's going down.
It's his neck. His neck's gotten longer. I think he's gotten skinnier too. Just overall, yeah, he's not as mobile. The most he does on a pump fake is like he does a little shoulder shake.
He like shoulder shrugs to try to get out of the sack and then gets obliterated.
Yeah, so he's very much a target. Him and Joe Flacco right now, I think, would probably be the softest, most
the
fun
sackable,
quarterback.
Yeah, right. Eli Manning somewhere. He had that crown for many years running where, he's self-sacked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, yeah, it's the perfect blend of a quarterback not having enough moves to get out, but also just kind of like giving up on, like, you know, he'll just kind of let you sack him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very consensual sacker.
Yeah, yeah.
He just lets you kind of sack him.
I don't think he has a problem with it. I'm never worried that when Matt Ryan gets sacked that he's injured.
Right.
Because he always gets hit like directly in the small of his back or on his shoulders. But yeah, you're right. The Saints, they flipped a switch. I told you that they were going to flip a switch. They did. The defense is awesome.
They look good. I still think it's the Drew Brees ceiling. Like the Saints defense has all of the bones to be a Super Bowl team. They have the bones to win the Super Bowl. They have an unbelievable running back. They have the number one wide receiver. They not number one overall, but I'm saying like a true wide receiver one, a great defense, a great coach. It's really just wherever Drew Brees takes you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been saying for a very long time, and if Drew Brees plays out of his ass, I'll get a fucking tattoo.
You know what I really miss, though? I really miss the Sean Payton to Dallas rumors. I know we probably have to give another year with Mike McCarthy and Dallas to get those started again.
Yeah, let's let him.
But if Sean Payton...
Those boys are playing for him.
If Sean Payton wins a Super Bowl and Drew Brees wins the Super Bowl for Sean Payton, Drew Brees retires, you think he talks to Jerry? He's like, hey, if you fire Mike McCarthy, I'll go to Dallas.
I'm there.
Let's I think the answer it. Is yes.
He needs to get Taysom Hill traded to Dallas first, because that actually would save Jerry money. Be like, don't sign Dak.
We've got Taysom for $10.5 million.
Yeah,
big time discount.
He's my quarterback.
Yeah,
right. All right. Next up, Bengals, Washington football team. I mean, the story here obviously is Joe Burrow. That fucking sucked. He's going to be out for the year. He tweeted almost right away that he's a tough motherfucker. So he tore everything in his knee and then was like, I'll be back.
FedEx Field, it continues to be the Bermuda Triangle for knees.
If you value
your knee, don't go to Route John, Maryland. Just stay away.
Quite ironic that it is like a Indian burial ground for quarterbacks.
Wounded knee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. But on the other side of the ball, the Washington football team has the best pass defense in the NFL.
Oh.
That's just a stat, Big Cat.
Oh.
Listen, you're used to me cherry-picking stuff and saying, like, last year, I think the football team was still technically in the hunt until week 15.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the only chance that they would have to get in would be if everyone lost every game and they won out. The Washington football team is actually really
good on
defense.
Where's the stat?
No, that's the stat. They have the number one pass defense.
95 yards per game. Wow.
There we go.
That's pretty good.
That is very good.
That's really good. And their pass rush is amazing. Chase Young is, you know what I'm going to say?
He's a beast.
As advertised.
Yes.
Chase Young is as advertised. The hit that he put on Burrow to make him fumble at the goal line, which was assisted by the strong safety.
Which, by the way, there's nothing that is used more incorrectly on Twitter than the, well, this aged well reply.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that, I said Joe Burrow has an astonishing lack of, like, fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yikes. Not a good look.
He got injured not because of a lack of fear. It was a fluke injury where he got rolled up on his knee.
Right.
Like, those two things have nothing to do with each other.
Nothing at all.
And I had that all day.
Big yikes.
Listen, here's a good test for this aged well. The this aged well tweet of the day is BYU. BYU tweeting anywhere, any place, anytime, and then denying to play a game against Washington because they want to see where they are in the college football rankings this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disaged well tweet.
Yep.
Me saying Joe Burrow has no fear and then him getting rolled up on and tearing his ACL, those have nothing to do with each other.
Here's a nice little fun stat, too, about the NFC East. Right now, so it's basically a four-way tie. Every team has three wins. The Eagles have that one tie against the Bengals.
Yep.
That puts them half game
Doug
ahead.
Peterson, we laughed at him, but that actually could decide the division.
He's a genius for doing that. The big stew brain got it right. The Los Angeles Rams are 4-0 against the NFC East. The Los Angeles Rams have more wins against that division than any team in that division has against the other 28 teams in the NFL.
I love it. So it's 3-6-1, and then 3-3-7, 3-7, 3-7.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving Day, guess what?
Unbelievable.
Winner of that game is in first place, sole possession of the NFC East.
I'm genuinely excited for it. The NFC East has been a joke all year. We've all had our fun, but now that you get in the middle or late November, all four teams able to possibly win the division, that's awesome.
It's awesome.
Like, that's actually a very fun concept to have.
I ran the numbers inside my own brain.
It's not looking good.
It's more than 50% that the winner of the NFC East is going to be 6-10.
Ooh. Oh, I was going to say, it's not looking good for the Washington football
team.
They have a tough schedule.
Everybody does. If you look at every team's schedule from this point on.
Well, I guess because they're all bad. Yeah.
They're all bad.
They're all bad.
So every team that they play is better than them, which is tough, unless they're playing each other and they beat each other up because they're the beast. But every team basically has to play, I think, two games against NFC West teams.
Yeah.
Some have to play three games against NFC West teams.
This is classic that it's it's actually kind of breaking for the Cowboys.
A little bit.
Because the Cowboys play the Washington football. That will be the that might decide it.
If the football team can beat the Cowboys, then I think they have the inside track.
Yeah, the winner of that game is going to have the inside track. But the fact that they get they play at the Ravens should be tough, but at the Bengals without Joe Burrow, then they have the Niners and the Eagles at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington football team having to play at Steelers, at Niners, versus Seahawks, that's a gauntlet.
It's tough.
That's going to be a tough
one. But if they beat the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, I think, and when you take into account that the football team has the best point differential in the division, which is huge because I think that's like the sixth tiebreaker, you have to say that it favors the football team.
Yes.
And if the football team wins the NFC East, you can't change the name because then you have to play into the month of January, and then that throws the whole marketing schedule behind.
Yep.
Then they have to be the football team for another season on top of that.
Yep.
I have a thought experiment for you.
Okay.
We can wait to talk a little bit about the NFC West, but we can talk about it right now. Would you rather
We don't have any NFC West games this Sunday.
Would you rather finish in second place in the NFC West or finish in third place, get the wild card? But I guess what I'm getting down to is
Thought experiment's off to a
confusing start. Would you rather win the NFC West and then have to play a home game against a decent team?
Yes.
Or finish in the wild card position
and
have to go to the NFC East and play a shitty team on the road.
That one.
Yeah.
That one. Although we're forever changed by the Beast Quake and the fact that the Seahawks won that division at 7-9, whatever year that was, 2010 or something, and then beat the Saints at home. So I think no matter what, whoever wins the NFC East is going to win a playoff
game.
They
probably will.
Because that's how it will. We'll laugh about the NFC Beast all season long, and they'll win a playoff game and fuck everything up, and everyone will be like, what the hell just happened?
And then you have to ask Alex Smith, Team of Destiny.
Yeah.
You've got those good vibes
True.
Going for
got
us.
The vibes.
I said it a few weeks before. I'm going to say it again. It's probably going to be the Nickelodeon game, too.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right,
it would
so
make sense.
I have one good spin zone for Bengals fans because that sucked. Actually, two. One is that BYU is scared to play Washington, so I personally, as a member of the media without a vote, will be voting for Cincinnati to get into the college football playoff over those cowards from where Salt Lake? Provo.
Provo, yeah.
Two, the Bengals. Joe Burrow gets hurt. Fucking sucks. We love Joe Burrow. We're Joe Burrow guys. They are probably not going to win another game. Guess what? A franchise level offensive tackle, how do you say his name? Penei Sewell from Oregon, who opted out this year, can now protect Joe Burrow.
You need one, too.
So there you go. Like, that's, you don't want to see Joe Burrow get hurt. But the only silver lining you have is you'll probably get a guy who's going to anchor your line for a decade to protect Joe Burrow.
Yes, who's going to make Joe Burrow not get hurt.
So there it
again.
Is. So, yeah, so that is the blessing in disguise if there is one.
And then probably Joe Brady is going to be your head coach next year.
Yes. So, all right, speaking of Joe Brady, let's go to that Panthers-Lions game. This is the ultimate coaching game. I mean, the Panthers are a well-coached bad team. They don't have a lot of talent. They're on their backup quarterback. They're on their backup running back. They're on their backup left tackle. They got absolutely pasted by the Bucs last week. 10 possessions, 10 scores. They come into this game. If you thought, hey, I don't remember even watching this game on Red Zone, well, guess what? The Lions never had a play inside the Red Zone. That's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers' defense is 31st in sacks. They had 5 today. So that's just a good coach team versus Matt Patricia. What exactly do you do?
Matt Patricia, I'm surprised he got on the plane to go back to Detroit.
What
Matt
do you
Patricia,
do? What
here's,
do you
here's
do?
What Matt Patricia does. He feeds Adrian Peterson. Matt Patricia develops a game plan, I'd say like week two of the preseason, and then he sticks to that game plan for the next 19 weeks. And this is Adrian Peterson is starting to develop into a stat line guy.
Yeah.
Where we have to look at his stat lines every single game.
Josh today, Rosen, yeah.
Today, 7 carries, 18 yards, 2.6 yards per carry. More carries than Kerryon Johnson, who's without a doubt a better running back.
DeAndre Swift did get a concussion.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift is out. But Matt Patricia, even when Swift was healthy, was insistent on giving the ball to Adrian Peterson.
They didn't start him until last week. The first time they drafted him.
I feel like every single game, Adrian Peterson has like 7 rushes for 18 yards.
Let's see if this works. Let's establish a run. Yeah, I just don't know what, like, this is an absolute and we never talk about another man's job, but this is a firing loss. You can't get shut out by a defense that's not very good in a game that you're kind of fighting for. Like, look at what happened in the NFC North. Everyone else lost. If you win this game, that itty-bitty run that I was, you know, predicting would have come true, and you'd be sitting here on Thanksgiving at home against the Texans looking to go above 500 and be like, hey, we could sneak into this thing. Mm-hmm. Instead, you lay an actual literal egg with 0 points, no red zone trips. That's so impossible to do in 2020 with, like, a competent quarterback.
Just get a penalty every now and again. Yeah, and Matt Stafford...
They had to play, I think, on the 25, and then they went backwards. But it's just crazy. This is a coaching game. Like, both of these rosters are flawed, and one coaching staff completely owned the other one.
I also think P.J. Walker's good.
Well, he got his contract. He got his backup contract, for sure.
Yeah, he's a serviceable backup in the NFL, XFL All-Star, XFL legend. And they're doing this all, as you mentioned, without Christian McCaffrey, which is really impressive.
Right, and so I also, the only other stat I had was I love when a player can do this when they basically, I mean, he got hurt, but Kenny Golladay didn't play today, but their absence just makes them money. So Kenny Golladay is in a contract dispute. Because of the Lions, they probably won't pay him because they're idiots. Mm-hmm. But with Kenny Golladay this year, the Lions are 3-2, 26.4 points per game. Without him, they're 1-4, 18.8 points per game.
Makes a difference.
Seems like that guy might be important to your offense. Might want to pay him a little bit of money because you are a totally different team without him.
I also think that DJ Moore is a very good wide receiver for the Panthers. So he
and Robbie Anderson, too.
He had 127 yards. Gone are the days where you can just say, like, the Panthers will never have a good wide receiver. Kind of ever since Steve Smith left, they've been, you know, they had Funchess for a while. They had Kelvin Benjamin. And they were just trying to keep him, keep him, like, out of the fast food drive through for 60 minutes a week to see if he could not play as a tight end. But now they've got two really good wide receivers.
By the way, we fucked up. We got to go back a game real quick. Fat Randy was trending on Twitter today.
Yeah.
Fat Randy was trending on Twitter when Randy Bullock missed two kicks. Sorry.
Well, it's so funny that Fat Randy, when he doinks a ball, that makes it that's so much more of a Fat Randy.
Literally, the name it was Fat Randy trending. Mm-hmm. Fat Randy was trending on Twitter. So apologies, I think. Then this one guy tweeted a way, way overweight Tiger. It was like, look at that, Randy, going back to the sideline. That made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of fat animal is going to be very funny. But the good thing for Fat Randy was he didn't lose this game. He just provided a little bit of comic relief.
Right. So, the Lions are, I don't know what, you have to basically overhaul everything again. And then the Panthers are just a really good coach team with a limited roster that will be scrappy and spunky for the rest of the season. They'll pick another team off. They'll have another game where they'll fuck up someone's season going down. Well,
probably the football team.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe the football team.
Football team.
It does look like it could be the football team.
That's the blessing and the curse of being the football team. You could either win your division or literally any team in the NFL could beat you. Beat you badly. Like I would not be shocked if the football team lost to the Jets.
All right. Before we get to the next game, I have a question for you, PFT.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving's coming up.
Sure is.
Christmas is coming up. I want to buy a video game as a present. Is there any new ones that are coming out?
There's a great one coming up. It's called Cyberpunk 2077.
Let's go.
Ever heard of it? It's from CD Projekt Red. They made The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Now they're coming out with Cyberpunk 2077. It's an open world first person action adventure set in the dark future of Night City. It's just a badass name for a city. You play as V. And V is a cyber-enhanced mercenary taking on the riskiest job of your life alongside the legendary Johnny Silverhand, played by guess who? That's right, Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is in this game. Do I need to continue with the ad, or have you already purchased it yet?
Done.
Equipped with an ability-altering cyberware, high-tech weapons, hacking skills, and more, you can experience a mature, multi-layered narrative where your choices shape the story and world around you. What's up, Billy?
You can customize your genitals in the game.
Hell yeah.
It's like create a player. You can even create
I'm not circumcising my guy. I'm going to become an anti-circumcision activist. Those guys are my heroes. They dress up in white suits and then put a little red stain on their crotch and walk around making fools of themselves. Love those guys. Cyberpunk 2077 is out December 10th for your Xbox One, your PC, your PlayStation 4. Play is great also on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. Check it out, Cyberpunk 2077 from CD Projekt Red.
All right. Next up, the Fraud Bowl.
Uh-oh.
Titans-Ravens. Titans-Ravens in the Fraud Bowl.
Hey, this, you know, these two teams are starting to become the no love loss teams.
The no love
because
loss.
Because there was a fight before the game. And yes. And then after the game.
Don't ever step on another man's logo.
You don't step on the midfield logo. Everybody knows that. That's our logo. Mm-hmm. You don't do it. It's disrespectful in another man's stadium to stand at midfield. And then after the game, Vrabel went in for the handshake. Harbaugh told him no thanks.
Oh.
No thanks.
COVID.
Little Ohio State-Michigan rivalry going on.
I love it. So, yeah, Malcolm Butler, like, John Harbaugh was, like, ready to go with Malcolm Butler. Mm-hmm. He wasn't backing down.
Would you think that John Harbaugh could beat up Malcolm Butler?
Probably not.
Ah.
Well, where did John Harbaugh, go to high school and
he did
with
not,
Doug Marrone?
He did not go to
Diana Rossini's
He was
dad.
Not in the Bronx. He was not in the Bronx that I know of. But no, I think Malcolm Butler would beat the shit out of Harbaugh.
Yes.
In fact, I think that John has probably gotten his ass kicked so many times over his life by his brother Jim.
Yeah.
That he just doesn't get into fights anymore.
No, yeah, he's not gonna do that. This game though, the Titans deserve the win. They played well in the second half. The Ravens defense kind of just fell apart. Derrick Henry had nothing in the first half. Tractor Cito season, I think, is officially on. He had the run to seal the game in overtime. I think he had 36 yards at half. He ended with 133. So the Ravens defense kind of just fell off. And then that A.J. Brown touchdown where he broke like five tackles.
He's a beast.
I don't know what happened. You could say injuries. Calais Campbell obviously matters a lot. Brandon Williams matters. But the Titans just kind of wanted this more, it felt like.
And A.J. Brown, the thing about him is he's always been like the second biggest dude. So he gets overshadowed because he was in that picture with DK Metcalf at Ole Miss. And everybody was like, who the fuck is this?
How'd they lose all these games?
Yeah, who's this guy that looks like RoboCop with his shirt off? Well, that's DK. We're not going to look at A.J. Brown anymore. And now he's with Corey. What's his name? Corey
Davis.
Corey Davis, who's also just a ginormous dude. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown is a fucking monster. And, yeah, he's awesome.
Monster.
And then just the defense for the Ravens didn't look like they wanted to tackle anybody in the second half. I have a spin zone for the Ravens.
I do, too.
You might miss the playoffs, in which case the narrative of Lamar Jackson can't win a playoff game takes a year off, and then he comes back with his back against the wall with something to prove, and he doesn't have to spend an entire offseason thinking about how he's the quarterback that's awesome who can't win a playoff game.
Okay. I have a spin zone for the Ravens. They're definitely going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So it's bad. Two games in a row. They've, you know, the loss against the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, then they lose to the Titans. The fraudulent word has been used. You can see that they can't, like, they were so close to maybe being able to do what everyone's wanted them to do, is like come back late, long drive, throw the ball, win from behind, all that. Didn't happen. But they have the Steelers on Thursday night, which we both said they could definitely, like, that's a game you could see them winning just because their back is against the wall.
Yeah, I think that the Ravens, I'm going to bet on them.
If Calais Campbell's playing, I think I just feel like they will bounce back. Their back truly is against the
wall. Yes, there's a good chance that they beat the Steelers. I'm probably going to look like an idiot when the Steelers smoke them, but for some reason I feel like we haven't really seen Lamar Jackson with his back against the wall in the regular season ever.
Right. So even if they lose on Thursday night, which would bring them to 6-5, their home stretch is Cowboys at Browns, Jags, Giants at Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
They will be favored in all those games, most likely. Maybe not the Browns game. But I think the Ravens have 10 wins in them, kind of no matter how it shakes
out.
But
10 wins won't necessarily get you into the playoffs.
I think it will in the AFC.
It might. I think there's going to be one team with 10 wins that gets left out. Lamar Jackson also said after the game, I feel like people want us to lose. So Lamar Jackson has entered the level of his own brain where he's like the people that hate Joe Buck and think that Joe Buck hates all their teams.
Right.
Lamar, that's kind of how it works. Like, if you're not a Ravens fan, pretty much everybody wants you to lose.
Yeah, everyone wants you to lose. So it will be, yeah, I mean, 10 wins, there could be a team that's looking out from the outside in with 10 wins, but I do think they will get to 10, maybe even 11 just by their schedule. Wait, what are they right now? They're 6-4. Yeah, so if they lost to the Steelers and then they ran the table, they'd have 11 wins. I do think that they will still make the playoffs. So there you go, Ravens fans. Say something nice about the Ravens.
One little fun nugget here. Missed opportunity. We talked about it when we were watching the game. We missed out on an opportunity to see the Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram reenactment.
Yes.
Right there.
In overtime.
It was right there.
Could have had it again.
And overtime.
It would have been amazing to recreate that meme.
Yep. It was right there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's go on. Patriots, Texans. The Patriots season is over. That was kind of their last gasp. It's pretty much impossible to make that. We just said that, you know, a 10-win team might not make it. They are now have six losses, so they would legitimately have to run the table. The Texans, Deshaun Watson, like, this is, if you're a Texans fan, this season sucks. Your team sucks. But then you watch Deshaun Watson, and you're like, okay, I'm okay. I can go to sleep. Because he had, the Texans had 399 yards. Deshaun Watson had 380 of them.
Damn.
That's insane.
And it felt like he had all day to pass back there.
All day.
There were all day. I think I looked at the game five or six different times where he was running around for maybe like 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket, like McNabb used to do on those plays. But he was doing it all game long. So the Patriots have obviously a lot of issues. Hank, have you completely thrown in the towel?
Yes. I was wrong. Season's over.
Wow. That was the towel throwing in loss because you had to beat the Texans. Like, you, if you looked at their schedule, knowing how good the AFC is and how it's going to be 10-6 is going to be necessary to make the playoffs.
Has this season made you think less of yourself as a person now that your team is just like everyone else as an average?
No, it's all right. I mean, I think water finds its level. You can't be a top-tier team in the league every single year. There's got to be some parity if the NFL is ever going to work. Also, Deshaun Watson, Baby Braun of the Week for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good, We're going to do Baby Braun of the Week going forward. Yeah, he definitely – I mean, 380 of 399 is stupid.
What do you think went into the decision for the Houston Texans to keep their roof open this week, or to open their roof, which was the first time in 6 years that they've opened their roof?
I feel like it might have been a contract thing. Like, you have to open it X amount of times in 10 years.
Just like a maintenance?
In 10 years?
Yeah, their warranty expires if they don't use it.
It's like rotating the tires.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that it, yeah.
I also wouldn't be shocked if it was someone in the Texans, like the owner of the Texans, being like, I'm going to out Belichick, and Belichick probably didn't even notice it was open.
Definitely not. What, Billy?
It probably had to do with like COVID stuff, because then it was technically outside.
It's outside. It's easier.
Why didn't they do it before?
Well, because
Texas just became a hotspot.
Because it was indoors, open the roof, it's technically outdoors.
Right, yeah. But why didn't they do that earlier in the season? Like, COVID didn't get invented last week.
Bill O'Brien wanted to kill everybody. He wanted to kill everybody.
That's a good line of thinking.
That's my thing. Yeah.
Texas actually...
it's a good line of thinking. It does feel... Maybe they could get more fans in.
My theory...
Yeah, you're right.
My theory is that the president of the Houston Texans, whoever that is, had a hot date. It was just like, you want to see what my stadium can do?
Yeah, let me show
check
you.
This out. It's like when you get like a chick in your car for the first time and you use the features that you've never used before.
You want this heated seat?
Yeah, let's pop the moonroof open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes like 30 minutes too. It's like, hey, why don't you sit back? I'm going to open this roof.
Mm-hmm.
25 to 30 minutes.
But yeah.
And it's going to go 1 mile an hour.
I like the idea of them thinking that this is their way to like outfox Belichick.
Right,
like,
and he just didn't even
rethink
notice.
Something. Does not. Bill Belichick does not look up.
No, he has no, yeah. So Cam Newton, I think the interesting part about the season's the Patriots like final stretch here is, will Cam Newton be their quarterback? I don't think so. I don't know what it is about Cam Newton, but the guy just loves taking face first sacks. Like, he likes to watch himself get sacked. He likes to see the sack coming and do nothing about it. And I don't like, I don't know football to a level. Obviously, Cam Newton was an MVP, but it does feel like there's a lot of times where there's a blitz coming, and he's very surprised by it.
Me and Billy were talking about it, and obviously, Billy understands quarterback play from a vegan more than anybody else,
mm-hmm.
and Billy was saying that he's not putting his legs into his throws at all. So vegan to vegan, you might want to
talk to him. He had the foot injury last year was a lot more to do with it than the shoulder.
I disagree. I think his shoulder's not 100%.
There was a whole stat where it was basically like he couldn't plant and throw an entire side of the field.
Respectfully, Big Cat, your track record recently on shoulder injuries, not so great.
Well, ribs is where I have problems.
Respectfully.
Ribs is where I have problems.
If you get that shoulder surgery, if you have a labrum, like Andrew Luck had the same thing.
Like, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, but sometimes it never gets back to 100%. Mm. It's impossible to get back there.
So what is it, feet or shoulder? Billy.
No, it's just sort of his mechanics and probably disadvantaged by his injuries.
Got it.
And veganism.
And also, there's a 50-50 chance that he's throwing a weighted medicine ball with all the weight in the tip of the ball, because every single pass he's ever thrown just dives right at people's feet.
He releases it, and the nose of the ball is pointed down, and he throws it directly over his head, and it just skips. It just goes, like, straight down.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Like he's throwing a hatchet. It's that exact same motion. It's really strange to watch.
So I don't think he is their quarterback of the future. But, yeah, that was a... Deshaun Watson had forever today, forever to throw.
Hank, can you give us like a little bit of insight? What are you going to do moving forward?
I don't really know. I mean, it's too late to root for a tank. I hope that we can maybe, you know, the Bills and the Dolphins games late in the season, I think we could, you know, play spoiler.
Oh, that's sad, Hank. It's so sad to see spoiler. How the mighty have fallen.
You're a spoiler mode.
Just rooting for spoils.
Yeah, I mean, it's all you can do. I'm appreciative of all the Super Bowls we've won in the past 6 years, and you know, you can't get them every year.
So, Hank, who's your second team? You've never had to deal with this
Bucks.
Before. You're just, of course,
the Bucks.
The Bucks, yeah.
Obviously.
The Bucks.
That's dumb.
Bucks, Rams.
Rams?
For who?
For
Jalen Ramsey?
Jared Goff.
Oh, okay. You're a Jared Goff fan now.
Huge Jared Goff fan.
Got it.
I don't think you're actually that upset.
What do you mean?
I don't think you're that upset that the Patriots aren't doing well.
Well, I mean, it was a long shot for them to make the playoffs. They're going to have to basically win out. So it's like at least they lost out early on. It's not like, you know, if they had won this game in the next two or three games, then my hopes would have been much higher and I would have been more, like, devastated. But, you know.
Did you even try not watching the games? That's tend to work for you in the past.
No, that's a playoff. You should only say that for the playoffs, PFT. You wouldn't know because you haven't been there in a while, but it's not something you can just whip
2015.
Out.
2015.
I got a theory that Pats fans are secretly rooting harder for the Bucks than the actual Patriots.
Ooh. Okay.
I've been seeing that a lot amongst my
Well, 4-6,
friends.
I mean, it is kind of over in the AFC.
Sorry, Hank.
Appreciate it. It's all right.
Let's do Dolphins-Broncos.
I was right about Altitua.
Yes. Tua sucked.
It's a thing.
So he was officially benched not because of an injury. So Brian Flores came out and was like, yeah, he sucked. Which kind of sucks for Tua, because he did get rolled up on, and he could have easily... Brian Flores could have said...
Lied.
Yeah, he could have been like, yeah, no, he was hurt. No, he sucked. And I think we were all... I mean, his games have been up and down so far. And credit to Vic Fangio. He's a fucking good coach, man. He's such a good defensive coach. I don't know
if
he's
let's
good
add
offensive.
That. Add the defensive in there.
Yeah, I know. No, offensively, I don't know. He would be the best defensive coordinator if... He went down a level.
Right. He's just got like unsalted porridge for his brain.
But he's really good at stopping guys.
He knows exactly what to do on defense, and then when it comes to offense, he's like, I'll just let Pat Shurmur, hands off. Pat Shurmur's got it, his genius offensive mind.
Yeah. Two of those, he had out of his eight drives, five of them were three and outs.
Yeah, not good.
Good.
Drew Lock didn't look that good. I noticed that he's a visor guy, too, so he's not going to win Super Bowl. So I'd officially like to retract
Drew Lock. Off
fandom.
Drew Lock.
I'm off Drew Lock because I found out that he's a visor guy.
Yeah, and he also, I mean, he played a little bit better because his running game was good. All-time uniform game, just bright colors.
Uh-huh. Melvin Gordon revenge game.
Something about watching games in Denver I just love.
Oh, no, never mind. That's a different thing I was thinking about. Not a Melvin Gordon revenge
Not
game.
Not Melvin
but,
Gordon
But,
revenge
yes, game. I did enjoy the oranges.
Colors
and, the
and just the, there's something about Denver. It just feels like you can almost feel the brisk air when you're watching it. I don't know. I just love watching games in Denver.
Yeah.
I really do.
I like it even better when there's like just a little dusting of snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to get some snow football next week?
I think so.
Let's get it.
Maybe.
We're going to get...
What do you say?
I think the... You gotta be worried if you're a Dolphins fan that the refs are gonna come after them after they trampled that referee.
What, they trampled the ref?
They had an interception and their entire defense trampled the referee.
Uh-oh.
Like it was Lion King.
Yeah, no,
so
that
that's gonna come back to them.
Yes, that spreads. Definitely gets talked about in the ref circles, in the ref community. Joe West is sick.
You know what? I'm glad that Brian Flores did not lie for Tua. I like that.
Yeah.
I like Brian Flores.
Welcome
a lot.
To the league, Rook.
Yeah, exactly. Boom.
Have some.
Speaking of refs, you guys see Juju Smith turn his ankle on a flag, a ref threw?
No,
I didn't.
Yeah, he turned
no.
his ankle. I don't think he got hurt. I
like
think
the
came
old
back.
Orlando Pace, you remember that when he got hit in the face?
No,
by
it wasn't
penalty?
Orlando Pace. Orlando Brown.
Orlando Brown got hit in the eye with a penalty flag.
But it's kind of like...
Just took a facial.
They actually should change the makeup of the flags because they're like kind of like... Basically, balls with the flag
true.
Wrapped around. So they,
true.
I think they actually should change them.
Make them heavier. Or turn. What if
just
they're
make
flares?
It flat so you can't turn your ankle on.
What if it's a flare and you shoot it at the player?
What if you shoot it in the ground and it makes a hole in the ground?
Well,
and they just play with a bunch of holes.
Don't think about that in D.C.
Yeah. But yeah, this game, I don't know. Tua. Tua's a, and Fitzpatrick. Oh, we almost had Fitzpatrick. He went like 99 yards. He went 85 yards. Mm-hmm.
It's his beard. His beard is a natural altitude mask, basically, whenever he's training at sea level.
Yeah.
So he has less oxygen, more prepared to play in the mountains.
And you basically, if you're a defense against Fitzpatrick, you're like, hey, we just need to get into a third and long late where he has to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And he will throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he will throw it where someone is very much covered. All right. Next game before we do that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm watching this video right now of the ref getting run over by the Dolphins.
Yep.
First response, not really funny, my dude. Guy looks like he got hurt.
Uh-oh.
I stand with that guy just for dropping For dropping
he
the my
trampled.
Dude on him. Now, this is an epidemic right now in the NFL. Defenses creating turnovers and then sprinting to the end zone cam to like just all stand together.
Saints and Ravens
next
top
to the
of
video
the list.
Board.
Yeah, Saints and Ravens.
It was
top
cool
of
when
list.
The Saints did it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now everyone's And you know what? It was okay when there were fans in the stands and photographers on the sidelines taking pictures. Now they just go stand in front of the mirror like it's one of those workout mirrors that you do at home where they tell you like what positions to be in.
Yep.
They stand in front of it and just mug for the mirror. Not a fan. I think that's candy-ass football.
I agree. All right. Let's go to Jets-Chargers. So
Justin Herbert, best quarterback in the NFL?
He's pretty good. And this was a who could like out – DNA the other team. The Chargers were up 18 at halftime and they almost blew it, but the Jets out-jetted the Chargers trying to charger themselves by just being the Jets.
But you can't out-jet the Jets.
Right. Like the Chargers were like, hey, we're going to really try to charger this up by getting a big lead and losing it and having everything go wrong and having stupid shit happen. And the Jets were like, no, we're the Jets. We're going to out-jet. Jets' powers to lose are stronger than the Chargers' powers to charger.
I think that the Jets have all the Chargers' powers within them, plus the added Jetsness of it. That's
ineptitude.
What makes them the Jets.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So the Jets are like a leveled up Chargers 2.0 version,
yes.
Where they can always manage to out-fuck themselves. It is an end of an era right now. The Jets are officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Oh, damn.
They're the first team. Hyperdrive didn't work.
Did not work, but the tank... It could not be going better.
Do you think that they could beat the 0-16 Browns?
I
think they could.
I think they're frisky. I think they have had frisky moments.
They've got more talent. I think that the 0-16 Lions would lose to both of them.
Yeah.
I think that's still the worst 0-16 team.
I also think that whenever the Jets go out west, they just look especially bad.
Yeah.
Something about the Jets' road jerseys, maybe it's the Mark Sanchez when he ate a hot dog game. Like something about the Jets' road jerseys on the West Coast, you're like, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm.
I would not want to play the Jets if I was another team. Not because
I would.
Not because I don't think that we could beat them. It's just because this is where Greg Williams tries to put something on tape for the rest of the season. Like Greg is going to make up that he's going to get head coaching offers after this season.
Yes.
Now it's a matter of if he's going to make up that he's going to get 6 or 10 of them. And I think the more of the opposing players that he can injure, that to him is like a big resume booster.
Yes.
You know, so a Greg Williams playing with nothing to lose is like a cornered jackal that's got rabies. So watch out. He might kill Adam Gase on the sidelines too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He's a very Shakespearean type of guy. And he's going to figure out a way to come out of this not looking like he's the problem on this Jets team.
Right, absolutely. Always. I love intentional safeties. I fucking love them. There's something about an intentional safety that just, it gets me going. It's just like, ooh, there's gamesmanship afoot.
Mm-hmm. It made Anthony Lynn seem like a genius.
Yeah, right. Like an intentional safety is just, it's something that I immediately just bump you up 10 IQ points. Like, mm-hmm. Ooh, I didn't see that one coming.
And then after,
run out of your own end zone.
And then afterwards, the Jets actually almost tied. And the Chargers got a stop inside their own 10-yard line. Can you believe that?
Yes. Yes.
It's a weird game.
It was a very weird game. Also, shout out Keenan Allen. He needs a little love. So he had 16 catches. He's now leading the league in catches. That just feels like something that he should be... You know, pat on the back for because not a lot of like great things are going on at the Charger world, except, you know, Justin Herbert, obviously. But that's if you said to yourself, who's leading the league in catches, you wouldn't have thought Keenan Allen.
I also think there's something really cool about a wide receiver that catches a goal line fade with a hoodie on. It just looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the constant hoodie guys. Mm-hmm. I think TCU does that. TCU has a lot of hoodies, and I'm always like, damn, they look badass. So, yeah, the Jets, good job. Tank is on. Trevor Lawrence was trending. I don't know if he was trending because Dabo said that
Trevor FSU Lawrence practice
forfeited, yeah, or if it was because the Jets are going to get Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see Trevor Lawrence pull an Eli Manning or a John Elway mm-hmm. on draft day and say, I don't want to play for the Jets.
I want to play for the Jaguars.
I want to play for the Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome, actually, if he ended up just playing in New York.
In front of the same facility. Yeah, just in their face.
Yeah.
All right, Cowboys, Vikings. Man, the Vikings defense fucking sucks. Credit to Cowboys, though, for putting together an actual game for once. And I had the Chevy truck on the line for Survivor. I was very upset. This game sucked for me. And we've been predicting this was going to happen at some point, and it finally happened. The yellow shoe penalty.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the game happens. Kirk Cousins throws it deep. Incomplete. Flag pops up. And then they zoom in and they're like, nope, not a flag. It's just Adam Thielen's shoe fell off and it's a yellow shoe.
It's color yellow should not be allowed on. If
the Chiefs do it, the Vikings do it.
If it's a glove,
the Chargers do it.
If it's a mouthpiece.
Not okay. It's, you know, and it's also, they do it with the score bug when the like Chargers score, yellow flashes over, then the score. Yep. And I always think that's a penalty.
Because that's the first thing that you look for is whether or not there's a flag on the field. Again, this is something that a flare gun could easily solve this problem if you just give the referees, like if they had a paintball gun where they fired it at the player that committed the penalty.
Yes.
That'd be sick too.
Just brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Because that's like there's something about losing and having those 3 to 5 seconds after a loss where you just have this denial phase. You're like, no, there's got to be a penalty.
Uh-huh.
And after those 5 seconds, having it slowly creep into your brain that there is no penalty. So having a fucking shoe be the fake flag, what a killer.
Yeah.
What an absolute kick in the dick.
Where everybody just points at the screen because the flag score bug is up there. And then it just goes away. And if you're in a bar watching that doesn't have sound, it takes you a long time to figure it out. And then they zoom in on a shoe. And then you're like, what the fuck? What did you just do to me? You just ruined my entire Sunday mood.
Brutal. The shoe penalty.
Credit to CeeDee Lamb. That catch was awesome.
Awesome.
You might think it was an incredible catch, but I went back and I watched it. I think that most of us have made that exact same catch in our life when we're sitting on a beanbag chair and your bro tosses you a natty light.
Right.
And you like lean back and you catch it over your head. I know I've made that same catch with a beer can at least dozens of times.
Oh, yeah.
But
it was
it was pretty sweet. The Cowboys have amazing wide receivers.
Amazing wide receivers. And it's, I mean, Andy Dalton finally has a team around him. Ready? Built for Andy Dalton. They mm-hmm. built it for Andy Dalton. But the Vikings, like, that's got to be such a disappointing loss because they were sneaking into the playoff picture. That was a win they had to have. And they just couldn't get off the field. Like, they just run all over him. Kirk Cousins wasn't bad. He actually was good. He played a good game.
Yeah. Can we find him a helmet that fits, though?
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't have a helmet. It just like bounces around on his head all the time. And he's a big guy that no matter what happens, if they get a first down, it doesn't matter if there's 10 minutes left in a quarter or 4 minutes left in a quarter. He like sprints up to the line. He's always thinking to himself, like, that might not have been a catch. Good things don't happen to me, Kirk Cousins.
Right.
We got a first down. I better hurry up and snap the ball before they overturn it.
Weird. Yeah. We need to get the helmet for Kirk Cousins. Also, Adam Thielen, shout out to him. He actually is close to the record for red zone touchdowns this year. He has 10.
Oh,
the record's Randy Moss with 14 in 2007. That's another one where you're like, oh, Adam Thielen.
Would not have thought that.
Would not have thought that. Yeah, the Vikings, like, that's just a...
They've been my best worst team all year, and I think they still are.
I know, and it's just you can't have that loss. You cannot have that loss. You can't have that loss.
I was really counting on that to have the football team be a full game ahead of the Cowboys.
Yeah, now the Cowboys
have one to play with going into Thanksgiving.
Cowboys might be in Frisky. Did the bye come at the perfect time? And we got Skip Bayless doing his dance.
Yeah, Billy thinks that he's being held hostage inside his own home and forced to do
like
these
free
dance.
Britney.
Yeah, like free Skip.
Free Skip.
Free Skip.
So yeah. What are you saying? Like there's somebody that lives in Skip Bayless.
Would anybody voluntarily dance like that?
Well, that's but like Britney Spears has the dad that's like the one controlling her. Who is doing controlling this for Skip?
Ernestine,
that's
bro.
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Free Skip.
I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen Free A. Smith Skip. Actually yeah. lived in Skip Bayless's house and locked him like in a bedroom all day.
Right.
And was still his daddy.
That was a bizarre but kind of electric video. I was kind of into it.
I mean, he's not a bad dancer.
No, he's a great dancer. He was fucking phenomenal. He's got his hips. Don't lie.
He was wearing the same jersey that he apparently threw out.
The Zeke jersey?
Mm. Yeah.
Was his piss mic
not a nice guy.
What?
Not a nice
Wait.
Guy.
Wait.
What?
Did you just...
It's been said before. I'm on the record.
I don't think that counts.
What?
Because, like, you've kind of... You're like, pick a number. Like, there's so many people who don't like Skip Bayless. I want you to say something mean or bad about someone who's actually liked.
Well, he made fun, not made fun of, he made some comments
about Dak.
Yeah.
The depression.
Yeah, yeah. Try again, Jake.
What?
I want a new name. I want to find a commentator that Jake can criticize once. We will get that. We will find that.
We'll find you a rival. You need an enemy.
Dude, you need something to wake up in the morning.
Ravel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Why?
He's the reason I have a job here
True.
In the first place.
Yeah. True.
So props to him.
True.
But that Northwestern Ravel. Thing, come on. First of all, when he says we and us and our, you're not on the team, bro.
Yep.
Relax.
Good point. Good
He's
point.
The worst.
Northwestern, the worst. They're a good program.
Like yes. We'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll do some college football talk on the other side of Dion. Yeah. But yes. Yes.
There,
okay.
there you go.
Good. Good.
He gets frisky this time of year, too, because this is the 1 year anniversary of him tweeting out the high res 4K JFK assassination video.
Yeah.
With Let the Bodies Hit the Floor as a soundtrack or whatever it was last year. So this time, he starts to feel himself around late November.
Yes, it's absolutely true. Yeah. This is right around where he's like, ooh, should I tweet out any more assassinations? Get the people going with their morning coffee.
Two people, I'm on the record of. Having not nice things
Good
to
job,
say.
Good job, Jake.
About.
I Thanks. Appreciate that. All right. Finally, Packers Colts. I had such a fucking bad football weekend, and we'll talk about college football after Dion, but gambling, college football, that I couldn't even fully enjoy the Packers being frauds. But they are.
I don't know if this was a Packers fraud game.
Let me give you a stat. Packers gave up 420 yards. To the Colts offense. The Colts offense, not so explosive, okay? Phillip Rivers, he's like a million years old. They also gave up 140 yards on the ground, 97 of them in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been saying. Like, the Packers, when they get against an offense that can be a little bit physical, they have not been able to stop the run. That's just their MO. It's not a Rodgers criticism, although the Colts defense deserves a shitload of credit because they got... 28 points in the first half, got a little bit of torched, and then totally shut them down in the second half. They didn't score until 10 seconds left with that field goal. Mm-hmm. So they get a lot of credit.
Maybe it was kind of a fraud game for the Packers, but this was one where I always thought that the Colts could beat them, especially at home. And the roof was closed for the first time all season.
Yep.
So I always thought that, like, yeah, Packers on the road against a good team that can run the ball. Probably not a game that I would necessarily expect the Packers to win. If I were playing against... against Phillip Rivers, and I was trying to scheme up a defense, why would you not just blitz them every single passing opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah,
What's Phillip Rivers going to do? It takes him like 6 seconds to
drop
figure
back.
Out where he's going to end up to throw the ball.
I love that he doesn't QB sneak.
He will
just
never.
He brings in Jacoby Brissett.
He's too honest.
It's like a hitman that he brings in.
And
I'm not going to get my hands dirty.
I love that he also went to the bathroom in between the end of regulation and overtime. He just jogged in there, and you couldn't tell if he was running into the locker room because... His knee was, like, shredded in half, or it was just because he had to piss?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how he always runs. He always runs like he's got a full bladder and half an ACL.
So I'll say something nice about Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the Packers' defense, they're statistically not that bad, but this is one of those cases where if you have an all-world quarterback, they can kind of hide a lot of the deficiencies. And this is like, you know, when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have leads and you're not going to have to worry about, you know, getting the ball shoved down your throat time and time again when you're up 14 points because Aaron Rodgers is that good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think this is the same Packers team as last year where Aaron Rodgers is that good. His wide receivers are pretty good too. I mean, Davante Adams should be in the conversation for top wide receiver in the NFL. And their defense, when push comes to shove, can be had.
And Phillip Rivers tried his hardest to Chargers this up at the end of the game.
Oh my God. There was like 17 flags.
So they had 9 holding calls on the Colts.
Unreal.
Which is crazy because they don't call holding this year.
Right.
Roger Goodell was like, hey, you guys went too woke, so we're going to have to get our ratings up this year or else people will blame it on like us having Black Lives Matter in the end zone. So he's telling his refs not to call holding anywhere. And they had 9 holding calls. I think they had like 4 or 5 holding calls on one drive.
Jesus
Christ.
At
the end of the game. It was pretty bad. And then if Aaron Rodgers doesn't hit that like 50-yard bomb into double coverage or triple coverage. Was that to Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah.
Out of his own end zone?
Yes.
If he doesn't just like put that on,
yeah, no,
on
it was
like
a vintage Rodgers drive at the end to even get it into overtime. But the Colts do deserve a lot of credit for their halftime adjustments. They came out and it felt like the game was going to get away from them and they brought it all the way back to themselves. They did what they had to do. They played great defense and they ran the ball and they a very good hard-earned win for the Colts that I think puts them in the watch-out category.
The watch-out?
Watch-out category? The watch-out category. Raiders are in the watch-out.
Good call.
Raiders are definitely. So if we're talking strictly AFC?
AFC, yeah. Raiders, Titans.
Titans
in the watch-out?
Maybe.
Because Tractor Cito.
I think the Dolphins could be in the watch-out.
Okay.
They're borderline. And then, so the above the watch-out is like the Bills, the Steelers.
Right, we know that they're good.
Yeah, right. Those teams.
The Browns might be a watch out.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Browns play in, like, not a hailstorm.
Mm, well, they're going to Jacksonville next week.
So the weather will probably follow them. Yeah. It will be a typhoon or whatever.
That'd be sick if Stefanski figured out how to like do cloud seeding and make all the grapple follow them everywhere.
Yeah, so they're in the watch out. They are officially in the watch out. I don't know who would be in the watch out in the NFC. The NFC is a little more straightforward, isn't it?
Cardinals?
Cardinals would be in the watch out. I think the Rams. Everyone's kind of watching out for them, right?
Yeah.
The Vikings flirted with the watch out, and then they lost to the Cowboys.
I think the Vikings are still in the watch out category.
And then, yeah, I mean, see, like, the Bucks, the Saints, the Packers, and the Seahawks and Rams, I feel like those are all the teams that are like, we just know they're good.
Yeah.
And it's going to be I don't want to keep saying nice things about the Packers because I think the Bears are going to beat them next Sunday, and then the Bears are going to all of a sudden whole NFC North lost this weekend on the Bears bye. Just saying, if you're talking about repping your division, kind of need the Bears to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The NFC is so wide open that when I call the Packers frauds, like I don't think there's a team that. Like the 49ers last year. Maybe the Bucs. Maybe the Saints. Maybe mm-hmm. the Saints will turn into that team with their defense.
The 49ers could also be a watch-out team.
They could be a watch-out.
I still feel like the 49ers could beat a lot of teams
right.
on any given Sunday in the NFC.
But that would be the only benefit to the Packers. The Saints, I would say, are the Saints. And I guess Monday Night Football will tell us a lot. But the Saints feel like the most dominant team right now in the NFC.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And the team that's putting it all together. Which, very weird, because they don't have their quarterback. Maybe that helps. He just broke another rib.
So was Drew Brees a system quarterback?
He just broke another
rib. That's what we're
thinking. And then another
right
rib. All right, let's go to Dion real quick. We have actually some great insight on offense versus defense.
We didn't
on
talk about
the
Steelers. Steelers-Jaguars.
I didn't write it down.
Steelers-Jaguars
happened.
Mapletron is a monster. I also love that nickname for Chase Claypool.
Yep. Deontay Johnson, also a monster.
Chase Claypool is on the fast track to becoming the best Canadian football player of all time.
Would you put him in your Baby Braun category?
He's been Baby Braun for like the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I don't know if Braun would go to the lengths of crediting a Steelers wide receiver.
Yes.
Because he's a Browns fan and a Cowboys fan. And the Steelers are traditionally those two teams' biggest rivals.
Yep.
So I'm not calling him Baby Braun.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Jake Luton. Frame the jerseys, the game worn jerseys. You know, tell your family about that.
Yeah,
tell your kids about that. Put that in your basement. That's actually a great. Think about it this way, Jake. Not many guys can have that as an accessory in their man cave.
Yep.
The jerseys of your game worn NFL experience. That I think probably ended today.
You always have that spin move.
The spin move, yeah.
For always and forever. Now, a fun little thing about this game, when you Google Jaguars Steelers score, it takes you to 45-42.
Ooh,
Jaguars over the Steelers. Blake Bortles lit the world on fire that day.
Yes. And the Jags, credit to the Jags, they were up 3-0 in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were up 3-0. They lost 27-3, but they were up 3-0.
So the Steelers keep taking care of business. That's what they. That's what you have to say when they beat an inferior opponent.
Yeah.
And they just win.
And they actually did, like the Cowboys game that they had where they could have easily lost. That was like, what the hell, Steelers? Get it together. Mm-hmm. This one was strictly taking care of business.
Is there any part of you that thinks that the Steelers are going to go 16-0?
Let's take a look.
Let's see.
I think my gut says no.
So they've got the Ravens on Thanksgiving.
I think the Colts will be a problem game. And I think maybe at the Bills it's going to be a problem game. The Ravens at the Bills and the Colts. I am of the mindset. Part. I feel like you'd want to lose one.
Yeah, this is the toughest part of their schedule right now.
Maybe not lose one, though, because there's only one bye. I don't know what the tiebreakers are. We need a tiebreaker. Jake, for Wednesday, we need tiebreakers. We'll have a full tiebreaker conversation because let's watch the Bucks-Rams game and try to figure out off that. But
I'm pretty
let's
sure it's
do a full breakdown of tiebreakers.
Conference opponents, I want to say, is the first one.
Also, just a reminder, it's Thanksgiving week, so we won't have a show Friday. We'll have an extra long show on Wednesday for everyone that you can stop. We'll give you a point in time where you can stop it and start it on Friday if you have to work. But if you do have to work after, if you have to go into work on Thanksgiving on that Friday during a pandemic.
That's time theft season. You work as little as you possibly can on that.
We'll tape something on Wednesday that will just be a giant fuck you to your boss that you can play that will not get you in trouble because you didn't say it but we said it. We'll have a whole thing that you can just on Friday morning you can walk by your boss's office and we'll just be motherfucking that fat fuck.
Yeah, so just accidentally disconnect your Bluetooth
right
from your phone when you're walking by.
Yeah.
We're going to
put that into Wednesday's show.
Uh-huh. Fat fuck.
Well, I assume if he's making you work on Friday, he's got low testosterone, he's probably fat, he's probably hates himself, that kind of thing. You know, that's a self-loathing move
mm-hmm.
to make someone work on a Friday.
After Thanksgiving in a pandemic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll get that set for you. All right. So let's get to Dion PFT. Before we do, Dion, do you have something you wanted to tell me? You were telling me this beforehand. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. All right, Deion Sanders. All right, he is back. It is Coach Prime on a Sunday night to talk a little football, what we saw this weekend. Where do you want to start? It was kind of a crazy weekend. It was,
I'm not happy with this weekend. I can't stand the Detroit Lions ever since I came out of college. I can't stand them. I can't.
Yes.
I really can't.
Yes. Okay.
I can't stand the Detroit Lions. I'm glad we would never have to hear another word out of you or Dave from the New England Patriots. That's over. Okay. I'm starting to really hear you clearly now about Baltimore. I can hear. I can hear now. Okay. I wasn't able to hear, but I can hear now.
Yeah. Okay, all right, wait. Let's start with the Patriots because I agree with you. I got incepted by Dave telling me that they were gonna, you know, make a run here, and I thought, oh, Belichick, they're gonna do it. But I think we need to give a lot of credit to Deshaun Watson for having a hell of a game. And
Deshaun Watson,
that team's bad. So if you're bad, having the hope of a good quarterback like Deshaun Watson, like that's a game, even though it doesn't mean anything to the Texans, I think it does mean something for the franchise to be like, oh yeah, we still have Deshaun.
I like who he is. I like what he stands for. I like his professionalism. I've never seen him out of character. I like everything about the kid. I don't like that the coach that was fired, he should be banned for at least 2 years for even trading their receiver
Hopkins,
to DeAndre Hopkins. He should be banned for 2 years for making that trade. But this kid is unbelievable. But New England, man, that's pathetic. Like, that does not make any sense whatsoever.
What do you think the problem is in New England? Is it? I mean, I think there are plenty of fingers to be pointed to go around up there. I don't think it's all on Cam, but I think we can say without a doubt that Cam does not look like the Cam that we've seen in the past. Like officially, he's no longer MVP.
True, but they gave up 27 points. Like normally, New England scores 20; they're winning. You don't give up 27. New England don't give up 27. I mean, in Houston. Come on, and you know, just continuing this Baltimore, this is a whole defensive thing. When Baltimore gives up 30 to Tennessee, that's a problem, man. Like, this was once a year ago, and it has to be give me his name. I'm going blank right now. The big guy that came from Jacksonville in the
middle. Calais Campbell, yep.
Calais Campbell. It has to be the absence of Calais Campbell because there's no way you give up 30 to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lamar said after the game that it was an effort problem, that they didn't want it as much. And to me, when I heard that, I heard him saying that about the defense, that the defense just didn't want to tackle. You saw it on that A.J. Brown touchdown catch and on the Derrick Henry run in overtime. Now, if you're a defensive player on that team, has Lamar earned the right to say that that the effort level wasn't acceptable?
Yeah, he's the MVP. He has C on his chest. They earned the right. When they put that C on your chest, you earn the right to do whatever you want. He's earned that right, and they respect the heck out of Lamar. The problem is not only that, their running game, when they were balling and getting to the second or whatever round in the playoffs that they got to, they run the football, man. The history of the Baltimore Ravens have always been running the football and stopping the run. They're not that team anymore. And I don't – they got to go into the draft, man, and get a receiver, or go into free agency and get a real one. They got to get a real one.
I agree. That is definitely a problem. And it was so close to what I've always been saying about Lamar is I want to see him win a game where he has to throw down late. And they got all the way down there almost, you know, it was like a third and six, and they had been killing the Titans all day on third down, and they just couldn't do it. And I just, that team – it feels like they've fallen back in the pack in what is now an AFC. That Colts win was impressive. The Steelers are 10-0, and people are still being like doubting the Steelers. And the Bills obviously were on a bye, and then you get the Chiefs tonight. Like, the AFC is pretty stacked at the top.
They are. And I hate to say it, and I got to give – and I hate giving Dave credit. God, I hate giving Dave credit.
Don't do it,
but
then.
This is a game that Tua, I was waiting. Come on now. You're going to have to throw it. You're going to have to – come on now. And the Dolphins just couldn't get over that hump. But you said, and I'm going to give you credit, you said you like the darn Broncos.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did. I feel like we were waiting for that Tua game where everything wasn't perfect for him. And Brian Flores said afterwards, because there was a question of whether he was injured or not, he said, no, I benched him. And Fitzpatrick almost did it. So they just showed this highlight on the TV. What the hell does Philadelphia do with Carson Wentz?
What I've been telling you all year from day one, honestly. And I'm not – this is not a I told you so situation. This is a athlete knowing another athlete, and an athlete like myself talking to other athletes that I know that's there. This is not the guy.
Interesting.
This is not the guy.
So would you go to Hurts already? Just cut your losses and say, let's see what the new guy's got?
If you think he could possibly be that guy, what you're going to get if you stay with Wentz, you're going to get a division, pretty much what you already have.
Yeah.
You have some guys in the locker room say, hey, man, this ain't working, partner. You can at least get another kid a shot because this ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
He is not the guy. You can't just try to justify because you made a mistake and paid him a ton of money, which you're going to probably get out of that contract as soon as you can. But you got to be able to salvage that team in a horrific division that you probably could still win. You got to get away from that kid.
So that's interesting because I've always thought this, and you can tell us whether it's fact or not, but in an NFL locker room, we always think, you know, playing sports growing up, you're like, oh, yeah, well, my teammates are my friends and everyone gets along. But in the NFL, when it's 53 guys and it's offense, defense, the offense and defense don't really, like, talk or get along. No. Or it's kind of – you guys are kind of like working for the same company but different floors, right?
Exactly. Well stated, well said. That's really what it is, but you do recognize the people on the other floor. It's because if the elevator is broken and they've had something to do with it, you cannot move or you cannot leave if that elevator ain't working.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you, like the defense, from a defensive perspective, when you were playing, like, you know, do you at least, you recognize, okay, these guys, this guy, they're dogs. But when mm-hmm. it comes to, like, if the offense isn't holding up their end of the bargain, there's real division that can happen and vice versa.
You get upset at the offensive coaches. You get upset at the offensive players, and you really don't talk to them a lot. But on game day, you just sat down from a long drive, and here goes three and out. So that stuff, or you sat down on a long drive, okay, here goes sudden change. He's throwing a pick. And you got to go right back out. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. Man, won't y'all make a change? Because on defense – you're going against the backup or even the third guy, and you see some kind of hope and some promise because this guy has to give you a great look all week. So you kind of become a fan of the backups.
Yeah.
Because you see them the most.
Interesting. Interesting.
So I want to talk to you athlete to athlete because I don't know if you caught on Thursday Night Football, but another athlete was talking about you as an athlete. That was your old teammate, Troy Aikman. And he was talking about Jalen Ramsey and how he kind of put the clamps on DK Metcalf, and he said that when he was playing against you, even if, you know, you were the guy that was supposed to be taking away one side of the field, he would still look for Michael Irvin, and Michael Irvin was still going to catch some balls on you. First of all, did you feel disrespected that Troy put you out there and said, I was still going to go at Deion because our playmaker was going to make plays at him? Secondly, looking forward to Monday night, do you see Tom Brady kind of giving that same respect to Jalen Ramsey and staying away from Mike Evans?
First of all, Troy did not say that. I watched the game, but that's the way to twist his words and try to make us go against each other.
He said I was going to pick on Deion.
Yeah, and he texted me this week, by the way. You know, we check on each other all the time, but good job. He did not say that. Thank you for trying to imply that he said that. But what he did say, his guy, Michael Irvin, if it was one-on-one, he was going to go to Michael Irvin because it's one-on-one. You got to go to that guy if they're supposed to be that dog. A couple of weeks ago, Dan was talking about Metcalf, and I said, no, he's not ready for that. If you're one, you're supposed to be able to beat that opposing team's dog, and that's Jalen Ramsey. He's not at that level yet. He's going to get there, but he's not at that level as of yet.
Interesting. So you're basically saying the best offense should always beat the best defense.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's what I'm saying. That.
One of the reasons I love the Rams so much is that they got a grown man up front that's going to take two people to block him in Aaron Donald. And then they got a guy on the back end that can go one-on-one with your best receiver and take him out of the game. That really disarms and disables a darn offense. That's why it's going to be interesting tonight. But the best thing about Tampa Bay, they have three guys, or really two guys that are number one caliber receivers.
Who? Who are you pulling?
They have two.
Who are you taking
Mike
out?
Mike Evans and AB.
Whoa, Chris Godwin. What about Chris Godwin?
No. He's not a one. He's definitely not a one. He's a Robin. He's not Batman, but he's a Robin.
Okay. And Gronk.
Yeah, no, Gronk is like a three now.
Okay.
Well, so what about Thanksgiving this week? Because you used to play on Thanksgiving all the time. I've always wondered, more than anything, you loved it, but what's the meal situation like on Thanksgiving when it comes to sitting down with the family and all that?
First of all, you hope you win because it's going to be rough if you lose and the family's there and everybody wants to celebrate and you're not in the mood for it. So you want to win. That's one thing. And we always played at home because we're during Cowboys. So that was good having everybody at home, but you really want to win so the Thanksgiving food is a little better.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever lose on Thanksgiving?
I don't believe we did. I don't recall losing on Thanksgiving. We might have, but I don't recall it.
You blacked that out. I like that. I always, I mean, it is the best. Football on Thanksgiving, there's nothing better. So I had one last question. The NFC East. This game now becomes
the beast.
Huge on Thanksgiving Day because PFT's Washington football team, your Dallas Cowboys, they are now tied for second. There's a three-way tie for second. The Eagles still somehow in first place. Doug Peterson, a genius for tying that game. So who wins the NFC East? And do you think the Cowboys might have a little life to them?
The Cowboys will have a lot of life now. I'm going to tell you something you need to look out for, man. I don't know the kid's name. Maybe you can enlighten me. But the backup running back for the Cowboys.
Tony Pollard.
Oh, my goodness. He's putting some pressure on Zeke, isn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was like, good last year, too.
Yeah, like this kid is getting in there, and he's hitting it. He's really hitting it. I'm happy with Andy Dalton, what he did today. He almost choked it to go. Didn't he? He almost threw a pick. And it would have been over.
Yes.
But got another chance. I'm like, good job. Good job. But I feel as though the Cowboys have a better shot at it than the Eagles if the Eagles stay with Wentz.
It's actually as terrible as the NFC East has been. I'm actually so happy that the Washington football team and the Cowboys won this week and the Giants have been playing well. It's an exciting, as bad as it is, it's an exciting home stretch that all four teams can win this division.
Everyone's got three wins. Let's do a Mares bet, Dion. You want to bet on the game on Thanksgiving?
I don't bet.
You don't bet.
You won't bet me just straight up?
You don't bet.
You know, we could do like hat merchandise or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Football team wins. Send me a cowboy hat.
I wore my hat, and you guys said nothing about it. I gave you guys love. I wore your hat on the football show.
I said something the minute you sat down. You wore the PMT football guy hat.
I appreciate that.
You did.
I did. I said, yeah, hell yeah.
Nothing.
You're part of that podcast.
You said nothing about it. But, you know, I thought we were family. I understand.
We are family, and I said something. I absolutely said something. All right, so if the Washington football team wins,
you send me a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
What do I get?
If the Cowboys win? I'll send you
this bowling ball. The part of my take bowling ball.
No, I know what I want. I want a duplicate pair of your shades.
Okay. I'll send you a pair of sunglasses.
Done. We actually have our own shades. Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of my take shades. Perfect.
Yeah, thanks for telling me now. Because I would have stole them
when
I was there.
We got
Had I known, I would have stole a pair.
We
when
got
I was there.
You.
Hey, Deion, real quick, how much do you bench right now?
That's a good question. I'm pretty strong.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that. I'm pretty
more than 285.
In college, I benched 340.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
As a DB?
As a DB.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I guarantee you, if I go in the weight room right now, you know what?
Let's see.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to show you what's on the bar.
Yeah, let's see what's still there. I think that's a good way to do it.
I'm going
to
show you what's on the bar. If you see what's on the bar, you'll say, man. That's what he plays around with?
Uh-huh.
Because our intern, Billy Football, who played football, who's 21, prime of his life, he's hovering around 285, which is kind of embarrassing.
Oh, you got three plates on there.
Oh, you got two. But that's just warm-up.
225, yeah.
That's 225.
Yeah, you're doing reps. You're doing reps. That's 225.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm repping that. So if I'm repping that should tell you where I am.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Easy. Yeah, easy over 300. No question.
He's also double your age, Billy.
Yeah. All right. That was perfect.
Well, we got to bring up age.
Well, because he's our intern's 22 and 21, and he thinks that
he's a young
strong,
stallion, but he's not. He's
weak.
A My Little
Very
Pony.
Very weak.
Yeah. A little Sibilly.
Very weak.
Yeah. And we've already established that Dan could be my son.
Yes, okay? I could, actually, which is great. Well, so is PFT's a little younger than me. He's 26.
Oh, yeah. PFT could definitely be one of my kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you did play in D.C. for a while.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, I did.
And PFT has fast twitch muscles.
I do.
You know what? I saw that when I dunked on it.
No, you did not dunk. I dunked on you. Now you're completely fake newsing this right now, Deion.
I love it. All right, well, Deion, thank you as always. We'll see you this week, all right?
Appreciate it, guys. Love
all right,
you, man.
See ya. Love you, too. Okay, thanks to Deion. Let's do some Football Guy of the Week. Football Guy of the Week presented by...
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code Barstool 20.
Jake, Football Guy of the Week, presented by Phillips Norelco One Blade.
All right, first off, disclaimer. I've been helping you guys with this for nearly two full seasons. This was the toughest week to dwindle it down to four selections.
Oh.
But I feel like there's a runaway winner.
Yeah.
Yes.
If yeah. we're thinking about Absolutely. The same guy.
And specifically, St. John's Catholic in Maryland head coach Daryl Hayes, who suffered an in-game heart attack, coached through it and survived. He was the most recommended. My DMs blew up all week.
I mean, he literally had a full heart attack and just kept on coaching.
Right.
And the best part about that was his coordinators were saying the only thing that I noticed that was different was he was a little bit calmer during the game.
Yeah.
And so we knew something was wrong.
Something about his mints, too. He needed his mints.
He needed more. He thought that he had indigestion. He thought it was just, he needed Tums.
Dude.
I'm going to Tums my way out of this heart attack.
He really does think like open heart surgery to him is like, all right, Tums and Rolaids.
Well, that's just guy stuff, because I don't know about you guys, but whenever any part of the internal areas of my body feel any sort of discomfort, Tums is the first thing that you go
through.
You got to reach for the Tums. Also, this guy can use this as a lot of motivation moving forward, because he can go to his players and do the best football guy thing, which is be like, you guys are giving me a heart attack out there.
Yep.
You got to play harder or else you're going to kill me.
Yep. Literally kill me.
So that'll be the heavy favorite.
I would say so.
PFT, you tweeted this out yesterday. Abilene Christian offensive line coach Mason Height allowed his offensive line to rip
literally
off his sleeves.
Literally translates to brick wall.
They scored a touchdown.
Yeah. What did he do?
He allowed his offensive line to rip off his sleeves after the team scored a touchdown.
I love it.
It was a pretty cool look. Like, they just went over the sidelines and just ripped it off for him.
Love it.
Yeah. The next one was Billy recommendation. The Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College team, they tried bringing out a chainsaw out of the locker room ahead of their game versus Jones College.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did they bring it out?
The officials did not.
We're like, no. Because Oregon State has a chainsaw without the chain on it.
Yeah,
right.
Turnover
chainsaw. Fuck those refs. You're not going to let the team bring out a chainsaw? I thought this was America.
That's bullshit.
It's called the Second Amendment.
And then this last one is kind of a playing game you guys wanted to discuss on the air. It's between Army head coach Jeff Monken, who was brought to tears while talking about his seniors after his team's win over Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Or the Vikings long snapper Andrew DePaula, who tore both ACLs with the Raiders in two different seasons and made his way back to the NFL.
I got to go with the Army football coach.
Yeah, I love the Army football
Respect
coach.
Respect the troops.
Yes, he's that guy. Who wouldn't want to play for that guy?
It's a big-time football guy move to just cry about your guys.
Did you guys see, by the way, this isn't football guy, this is just more classically Rutgers, the Rutgers kicker? Did you see that at the end of the game?
The fantasy FUCC boy. Yeah.
What's his name?
Salvatore or something.
I'm going to go find it. It was so funny. They trotted this kid out, and he had no chance of making this kick. Like Rutgers could have beat Michigan, and they trotted him out. Like, oh, this kid doesn't want to be here, and then they flashed his name. And I was like, holy fucking shit. New Jersey, you have done it again. What was his name?
I'm looking.
It was something Ambrosia. Something Ambrosia.
Looking up right now.
Valentino
Ambrosio.
Valentino Ambrosio. Yeah.
Remember they had Nunzio Campanelli as their coach last year. Fucking Rutgers. Love it. All right, so that's Phillips Norelco, One Blade, Football Guy of the Week. Go vote. We'll have the poll and the blog. All right, let's do – I'll do college football as my who's back so we can talk it about then. Let's quickly do Baby Braun of the Week. Mm-hmm. Nominees. We'll also vote on this, so everyone can throw in one, and you get to decide. So it's Baby Braun. LeBron has just decided to start calling people Baby Braun.
He plants his flag in athletes that are showing promise,
right? Which is essentially just a compliment to himself.
He claims them as being Braun. Smaller, eventually larger versions of himself.
Yes, Hank. Who's your Baby Braun of the week?
We talked about it earlier, but Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I'll put Megan Thee Stallion on there too.
Ooh,
okay.
Had a great performance at the AMAs.
Okay.
All right.
Who's your baby Braun of the week?
My baby Braun of the week is George Clooney. Because LeBron James started a tequila company.
Oh.
And so he's looking to cash in big time.
Also Michael Imperioli.
That's right.
Christopher
Moltisanti. I love those commercials. We're like, hey, fuckhead.
I'm Christopher.
Why are you drinking pussy shit that doesn't pour yourself a shot, bitch? Yeah.
Don't be an idiot and drink vodka and sit on a dog.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what?
Drink this tequila
like
a man.
What the fuck's your problem? Does your tequila fit into the cup holder in your car so you can chug it while you're driving 95 miles an hour? And then Tony will cover up your nose when he sees that you've got the
pussy
in the backseat.
Whoa, spoiler.
So LeBron, he moved up. to the hard stuff. He's off wine right now. Okay. He's got a tequila company because I guess he needed a higher alcohol content in the stuff that he was drinking. So
yeah,
it's probably smart. There's fewer calories in tequila.
Yeah.
So he's going to save a little bit of weight, but also get drunker. So congrats, LeBron.
Nice. My baby Bron of the week. I actually am surprised he hasn't baby Bron'd this person already, but it has to be Patrick Mahomes. He's got to baby Bron the best football player.
Right.
Just well, so he can baby like be like, yeah, that's baby. When you think of Patrick Mahomes, who do you think of? LeBron James.
What if he baby Bron'd every quarterback that was taken in that draft besides Mitch Trubisky?
Come on, baby. It could happen. Bron. Come on. Do you have a baby Bron?
Yeah, I got a baby Bron.
Bron.
No, there was a dude who should make saved a little
baby Bron, like baby Yoda.
Yeah,
dude, that would go viral.
Dude, we should
make a little baby Bron.
What we should do? We should get a figurine and put a diaper on it.
Yeah,
and then that'll be our baby Bron statue. We'll mail it to whoever.
Little baby those Bron. Nike puppets. Back in the day, Kobe, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Little Penny Hardaway. Little Penny was the greatest.
Baby Bron, baby.
Mine was this dude saved a puppy from an alligator.
Watch that video.
No, but he's keeps the cigar in his mouth.
I know, I baby.
That's that guy's.
That guy. Hero. I agree with Billy. That guy's baby Bron. He baby Bron the alligator.
I can't watch videos where like a dog. Even if I know the dog is okay, I can't watch those videos.
It was tough. It was tough.
It makes me like squirm.
The only reason that I could watch it is because the guy exuded such power. Powerful Florida energy.
Dude. Yeah, just
he was like
scared.
Emerging out of a swamp wearing nothing but jean shorts and smoking a Swisher Sweet.
Doesn't drop the cigar.
Yeah,
prize somehow the alligator's jaws.
Somehow the cigar is still lit and he's still smoking it as he emerges from a bog.
Yes,
it's just fucking crazy.
All right, who's back of the week to finish up? Hank,
I have a couple. Who's back of the weeks? The first one is our NC Dinos.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Do we win it all?
They are in the Korean World Series tonight at 3:30. The series is tied 2-2.
I'll be watching.
Best of
17.
Seven or five, maybe nine.
17. So Swole Daddy is making an appearance tonight somewhere.
My other who's back of the week is Michael Jordan, the GM.
Yeah.
Gave Gordon Hayward $120 million.
Yes.
Which is probably his worst free agent signing yet. So, you know, good
kinda for him. Kind of like it, though. He's the greatest worst GM.
But I like his commitment to the fact that like he will never have anybody on his team that will ever be compared to him.
Well, and this one is like they tried to sign him back in the day.
Right.
They signed him to like an offer sheet and then Utah matched it. And then Gordon Hayward, like his knee exploded. But I think it was like a Michael Jordan. He had already committed to Gordon Hayward.
What baby wants, baby gets.
And then he was like, fuck it, we got to have him.
That's an old school Gar Pax move when they tried to draft Chris Dunn and then they traded for him after he had shown that he sucked. They're like, we still want this guy. We've done all this work on this. We've analyzed this draft prospect.
Mm-hmm.
We need to use this paperwork somehow. All right, who's back?
My who's back of the week is Salty Dabo. Dabo Swinney's back big time. He's mad that COVID is so high in the BCS rankings right now, or in the FCS rankings, because I guess Florida State had a player that tested positive for
Clemson
COVID.
Did.
No, Florida State did, right?
No, it was Clemson.
Clemson had a player.
Clemson's player in your practice, asymptomatic all week.
Okay, and then they went to the game, and then Florida State's medical team said, no, we're not going to agree to play this game. They probably could have rescheduled, right?
We're getting down there, so I don't know.
So Dabo was like, I think y'all just scared.
He called it a forfeit.
Yeah, basically, Dabo, if he's not coaching football, he's just saying y'all scared to somebody.
We were saying it like, so my who's back is college football, so we can talk about all of this. Dabo is so hyper-focused on getting the college football playoff that he's just not, he can't, I don't even blame him for being a psycho anymore, because that's all he wants. That's all he thinks about.
Yeah.
It's everything to him.
Well, he firmly believes that the safest place in the world, no matter what is going on, is on a football field.
Right.
Which, yeah, I kind of understand why, but like he immediately leapt to the fact that like Florida State is scared of playing Clemson. That's why they're declined to play the game. And I think he's right. I think Florida State was scared of playing Clemson.
Even Saban has just enough human being in him where you're like, okay. He's a human.
Yeah.
Dabo's got none of it.
No, Dabo doesn't have any of it.
He's got none of it.
This was, if I'm Florida State, this is the best excuse possible to not take this
loss.
Oh,
they would have gotten
their shit pushed in.
And it would have been a great, like, because they do the old, like, Clemson, you know, competes for the same recruits as Florida State. So they really try to run it up.
Yep.
All right, other college football stuff. Wisconsin lost to Northwestern. That sucked. 9 punts in the third quarter. 9. That game made me despise football. Between that and watching the Bears on, was that Monday night? Yeah, Monday night. I should get like a medal.
All your teams are just liable to play the most boring brand of football.
It's just
of all
terrible.
Time. And you know what? I thought about it afterwards because obviously Darren Revelle was very happy. Verbal meme, Alonzo Mourning, Darren Revelle celebrating Northwestern win. Mike Greenberg celebrating Northwestern win. Nice to see Greeny really excited about that. Greeny is going to wear this on his. He's probably going to get, like, every time Northwestern beats a ranked team, I'm sure that he gets like a temporary tattoo body because he can't go full speed with it and get actual ink done.
I got to rant a little bit for a second because I just cannot stand Northwestern fans. Pat Fitzgerald is an awesome coach. He has made Northwestern a legitimate program. They are a good program. They don't have, like, last year they sucked. This year they're back to being good. That's the sign of a good program. Unless you are Clemson, Alabama, or Ohio State, you're going to have down years, but the sign of a good coach and a good program is the down years don't last. They don't extend. You have a blip, and then you're back. Blip, then you're back. You're not 4 years where you suck. That's Northwestern now. I don't understand how Northwestern fans, and I'm pretty much just talking about the blue checkmark losers.
White checkmarks.
Yeah, white checkmarks, right? I'm just talking about them. So I'm not even talking about, like, my guy White Sox Dave, who's a noted Northwestern alum who bleeds purple. You can't do the "we're the little engine that could," "we're the scrappy underdog," "no one cares about Northwestern," and then also, like, every year be like, "this is a program defining." When you're a ranked team. You're a ranked team. You have a good football program. Pat Fitzgerald is a very good coach. Stop pretending like every win is like, "oh my God, we fucking, you know, shocked the world and we beat." You won the Big Ten West 2 years ago.
The problem is,
start acting like it.
The problem is that the people that write about Northwestern football are all people that graduated from Northwestern and went there like 20 years
right.
ago. And now they're in these like big prolific writing jobs where now they're looking through the lens of Northwestern football as what it was like in the 90s.
And
it's going to take another 20 years for that to cycle in and out. And then you're going to have a bunch of, might I add, discredited journalism graduates from Northwestern that still probably won't be able to get it right.
I actually think you were slapping Pat Fitzgerald in the face when you act like you won the Super Bowl after beating Wisconsin. Like, that's, you should expect, you guys have beaten us like, I don't know, 6 out of 7 times in Evanston. I love Rachel Nichols. She's a friend of the program, but that was what triggered me when she's like, "my brother went to Wisconsin. He'll never get over this loss." Guess what? Wisconsin always loses a game like this every single year. That's what we do. We are a slightly better program that always disappoints the fan base at the most inopportune time. That's what we do.
Now, do you think that Pat Fitzgerald actually hates that element of the fan base that treats them like they shouldn't win these big games?
Yeah, I think so.
You think he's pissed off that, like, at night he goes home, he's like, "I just wish that I had slightly cooler people that rooted for me."
No, I really do think that you get to a point where you have to start acting like, "hey, we're... you know, Northwestern's a good team, coached very well, and yeah, they won't get the best recruits, but you can make up for it in coaching." And they've been like in the mix in the Big Ten West for a while now. So you can't. It just drives me insane. You can't have it both ways, Northwestern fans. Not every win can be this like shocking huge upset. Act like you've been there, Revelle.
Do you think
you fucking went to Indianapolis 2 years ago to play Ohio State?
Northwestern should have like an alternate school that they put right next door to their journalism program that's just like a troll academy to get their students and their eventual graduates used to just getting trolled by a bunch of shitheads.
Right.
And then those people can also get the best seats at the football games, and then they can in turn become the loudest supporters of the team.
Yes.
And just like the shitheads that just like comment fake news under every single report that those people are going to put out when they become grown journalists.
Yes.
Get them used to it. Get them used to getting bullied
a
little bit. Have a one period every day where you get bullied and you get put into a locker by a guy that's cooler than you.
I'm just, uh, I just, they were the better team. And yeah, you could say, like, you know, Wisconsin didn't have their top three wide receivers. That probably mattered, and the refs were totally against them. But they were,
it was the refs mostly.
Was the better team. All right, other quick college football hitters. Mike Gundy, go fuck yourself. Respectfully, punting in a rivalry game from the 40-yard line.
You don't punt in Bedlam.
You don't punt in Bedlam.
Doesn't happen.
And then throwing those two fades to ruin the over to everyone. Bedlam, by the way, there's some rivalries out there, like, you think because Bedlam is Bedlam and it's fun and the colors. I think Oklahoma has won Bedlam like 84% of the time.
Yeah.
They just always win. Like, I saw a tweet before Bedlam started by a college football writer. I don't know who it was. I apologize. But they were like, there are three outcomes tonight in Bedlam. It's going to get wild. Either Oklahoma's going to win by a little, Oklahoma's going to win by a little bit more than a little, or Oklahoma's going to win by a lot.
But 90-18-1.
I mean, that's not a rivalry, right? Like, that's an asking.
If you were to go back, like, before 2000, when did Gundy get there? Like, 2006?
Yeah, Gundy's only beaten him twice.
Yeah, so you go back before that, and there was probably even a longer stretch where it was shitty. Well, I think the Bedlam looks cooler when it's at Oklahoma State.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that the sky,
well, that's when
the
it gets
sky,
crazy.
Yeah, the sky gets blacker in Stillwater. That just happens when you combine it with the orange on the field.
Yep.
Like, the sky is so much cooler. The points are crazier. Yep. Weirder plays. Interceptions that turn into fumbles that turn into touchdowns. Like, crazy shit happens in Stillwater. When it's in Norman, it's not as Bedlam-like. And I expect to win when I bet the over in Bedlam.
Yes.
It's a tradition. I do it every year. And it should happen
every year. Four times since 01.
Yikes.
Before that, it was...
Yeah, Mike Gundy, you lost a lot of respect from me on Saturday night.
From 67-94, Oklahoma State won once.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's they tied tough. Once
that's
in
bad.
92.
Yeah, that's bad. So, Bedlam was disappointing. And... I'm trying to think what other big games. Oh, Rutgers obviously trying everything they had in them. I actually think Harbaugh might stay at Michigan, which is crazy to say.
Well, Greg Schiano did everything that he could to get another tie so that he would end up at 69-69-2, I think, when it went to three overtimes against Michigan.
But he, Harbaugh's going to probably beat Penn State, which is a clusterfuck, maybe beat Maryland, which, by the way, I want it on the record. I actually talked to our good friend Scott Van Pelt last night. I am officially saying that if Maryland beats Michigan, they're into the Big Ten in football.
Wow. Okay, that's very big of you.
It is
what,
on.
What about...
They have to beat Michigan because you can't lose to Michigan when Michigan is this bad. Because that tells me that you still haven't gotten to that level. So that will be the biggest game in Maryland history.
Penn State fans, would you take Bill O'Brien right now? Because you know Bill O'Brien's looking at that 0-5 record, and he's just rubbing his hands together. He's like, this is where I go back. Sometimes you got to go back to move forward.
No, I think...
It's like, they're fed up with James Franklin.
I don't think they're fully fed up. Because remember, they won a Big Ten title. They, you know, essentially in the Big Ten East, you just hope that you luck into a win against Ohio State every, like, 5 or 6 years. And they've done that. This season... is just like a wash for them.
I think so. Since it's 2020 and everything's fucked up, I think most good coaches have one of those in their back pocket where they can just be like,
yeah, he's using
it. It was a fucked up year.
Yeah.
But even before this year, I don't think that Penn State fans were super excited about James Franklin anymore.
Well, no. I think it's cautious. Like, he's annoying. He's an annoying person.
Right.
So I think
but
it's
if
more,
you're annoying, you got to win.
He's annoying, but they've still won relatively, like, it's impossible to beat Ohio State. You can't beat Ohio State. Like, you just can't do it. Indiana, by the way, that's the other game I want to talk about. Credit to them, because they tried to beat Ohio State.
They're also a baby Brown of the week.
I love LeBron James. I love Tom Allen so much.
He congratulated them right after the game because it was one of those, we just beat you, but respect, you guys are going to be good in a couple years. I don't know if LeBron James knows how college athletic works, but they're going to be losing a lot of those players in a couple years. But he thinks that they're building for the future, which I guess you can make the case that they are. But it was definitely one of those, oh shit, we just scraped by the skin of our teeth.
Right.
So I will now give you respect.
Yes. Yeah, no, James Franklin, I'm looking at, he's had success. I mean, he's won 11 games 3 out of the last 4 years.
They lost by 20 to Iowa.
I know, they suck this year. They suck this year. They're terrible. But three out of the last 4 years winning 11 games is
they lost
is
by
not
16
nothing.
At home to Maryland.
They're terrible this year. I'm telling you, they are going to just wash away this year. And James Franklin might go coach USC, so they might not even have a say in the matter. All right, I think that's it. Anything else?
I would like to correct myself. The Clemson player had mild symptoms earlier in the week.
Got it. Okay. Purdue got screwed. Fucking Purdue got screwed. I'm still mad at the Big Ten refs. And then some guy like got drunk and tweeted out like, I just found out that the Big Ten refs that were at the Purdue game also reffed the Wisconsin-Northwestern game. And I got really mad. And then it was a real reporter, too. And then he's like, whoops, I read the wrong like sheet. Like, blame the Guinness. And I was like, mm-hmm. God damn it, dude. You had me ready to steal the Declaration of Independence. I was going to take down the Big Ten and college football with getting so fucking woke on these refs. I was ready. And he just stole that from
me. You were
going
to do a fraud and order with Marty Mush.
I was going to take them to the Supreme Court.
But can they even... Are they in a position this year where they can see that a ref team did a shitty job and then just fire them? Because do they have like a backup set of refs ready to go?
I don't know. The refs have been really bad this year.
I like what John Gruden says when he gets mad at refs. He's like, I just think that the game would be better played without officials at all.
Yeah, right. Let's just fucking call your own fouls.
Yeah.
All right, numbers, and then we'll get everyone going. Reminder, we have no show Friday, but we'll have an extra long show for you on Wednesday for Thanksgiving week.
91.
Ocho.
18.
69.
Great.
35.
Raymond's 82.
8.
What is it? 80. We're never going to get it. How is this possible?
We will. It's going to happen. It's going to be glorious.
It's never going to happen.
Australia lost the war with emus.
Love you guys. What does that mean?
No, seriously, the Australian army went out to like kill emus because there's too many and they lost.
Yo, Billy, what happened with all those minks that they killed in Scandinavia?
Denmark.
Save it for Wednesday. I want to know what's going on. I want to know if I should be mad at Denmark.
Well, they went forward and back. Okay.
Talking away. Oh, I don't know what I'm to say. I'd say it anyway. Today is my day to finally shine. Coming for your love, okay. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay. Take on better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.